morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. We've got a lot to unpack today. We're keeping our eye on a lot of live events going on today. President Trump has a full schedule today, and it's got us all paying attention right now. He is about to arrive right now in Quantico because he's going to be announcing something that we haven't yet heard. We're not very familiar with what it is exactly. We could tell you a little bit, though, based on what Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, has just said. They are right now at the Marine Corps Base in Guantanamo. Sorry that, folks. And then ultimately right now, we are awaiting them to give those remarks. Now, what we can expect right now, Pete Hegseth has just announced that the military is no longer going to be allowing their troops to be overweight and out of shape. Now, this is big news. New standards for personal health is obviously something we could all support and get behind. So we look forward to hearing more on that front in just a moment. We're waiting for the president to make his way to the podium. He's expected at any moment now to give those remarks. And it's not just that. President Trump has a very busy schedule ahead because after he leaves that, he's going to be heading back to the White House, and he's going to be delivering an announcement at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. And then later in the afternoon, he's expected to sign multiple executive orders at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So we're going to be following all of that. But that's not all we're following. Over in the Senate, there's a lot happening in regards to the TSA terror watch list. There's going to be a hearing going on today amongst those who are a part of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Now, what can we expect from this? Well, if you've been following my work, you know that I've been covering the TSA Quiet Skies list. It's a terror watch list that dozens of Americans landed on after just flying to the Capitol on January 6th. Well, looks like we have way more information than we did prior, and it outlines how many people were targeted by the Biden regime in regards to all of that. So we're looking forward to diving into that later today. Senator Rand Paul is expected to head that hearing. We're going to hear from some incredible individuals, some not so well-versed on the program. I look forward to calling those individuals out as well. But we've got our very own Sonia Labosco, who is going to be front and center at the hearing as well. And she will be sending us the very latest. She has been fighting this battle for over a decade now to make sure that this committee was no longer going to be allowing the Biden regime to get away with what they've done over the last 4 years. Now, if you've been following it again, let me just give you a little refresher. Tulsi Gabbard was added to this terror watch list. I reported this late last year when I found out through sources, through whistleblowers, that the Biden regime added her to the list after she was critical of Kamala Harris. That landed her the very next day on the list. And we've been discussing this for several months now. New details just emerging, of course. We're learning more as to how many times TSA flagged Gabbard and how many U.S. air marshals followed her and for how long it was going on for before I was made aware of it. And if you also followed, you know that I alerted Gabbard that she was added to the terror watch list directly. Wendy Mahoney is going to be joining the show in just a little bit as well. She joined me on this exclusive report. We teamed up for this one and we worked together to expose the Biden regime for all that it was doing. We're also going to be speaking to somebody who was on that terror watch list, someone who I'm actually suing TSA for currently. J.D. Rivera is going to be joining the program. He is a videographer. He is also a J6 defendant, and he is someone who has fought to get his name cleared for several years. He has had to endure the abuse of the federal government and them tailing him, following him through the airports, surveilling him, going through additional security measures because they called him a terrorist. Most importantly, he's a veteran. So he had to deal with this for years. So he'll be joining the program as well. Roger Stone joining us later as well, too. I should add, Roger is going to be detailing everything related to James Comey, because in case you didn't know, James Comey hasn't been arrested yet. So we've got a lot to kick off in the next 3 hours. So do not go anywhere. We have more American Journal to unpack in just a few moments.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you are all joining us today. There's a lot of news we're following all across the country. There's a lot of events going on right now. We're waiting for President Trump to give his remarks. He is currently in Virginia. And he's got a lot to say. We're hearing from the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, who just recently announced new standards for those troops who are currently serving. There's going to be new facial hair standards as well as new health standards. They are not going to be allowing those who are out of shape to be serving, it looks like. There's going to be a new set of standards for that, so we're waiting for those details. But again, we've got our eye on Virginia right now. We're waiting for the president to give his remarks. So we'll bring you those when those are underway. But we're also following a hearing that's going on today in Washington, D.C. I've reported exclusively that Tulsi Gabbard was added to a terror watch list late last year. Well, folks, it looks like we are learning way more information than we originally knew, and we're expected to hear about a lot of this today during the Senate hearing that's going on in just a few moments. That Senate hearing is being led by the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and Rand Paul is going to be heading that. So we look forward to bringing you that and bringing you exclusive details that we have not known until now. And so we'll have Wendy Mahoney. She's one of the independent journalists who teamed up with me on that story. She'll be joining the program today, as well as J.D. Rivera. He was a J6 defendant who was added to the watch list because, well, he just decided to travel and report on what was happening at the Capitol on January 6th. And so they flagged him as a terrorist, even though he's a veteran. J.D. is someone who I have told his story several times in regard to this terror watch list. I'm actually currently suing TSA over this. They have refused to hand over communications regarding how people like J.D. Rivera ended up on that list. And it's not just J.D. Rivera. Dozens of other J6ers were added to the list. We're hearing north of 200 individuals were added to that list. So we'll bring you all of those details in just a few moments. Plus, later in the show, Roger Stone is going to be joining us. I'm going to be asking Roger about James Comey, because last I checked, although James Comey has been indicted, the former FBI director has not been arrested yet. So what's the holdup? Well, obviously, if you're Roger Stone, you're really just kind of getting upset at this point because the FBI sent armed agents to go after him. But for some reason, they're being a little softer with James Comey. So he'll be with me later in the program to sound off on that front. But I just got an alert that I wanted to update you all on as well. It's in regards to that Dallas shooting, the ICE facility. It looks like, sadly, the second detainee has passed away. That illegal alien has died. That was just a notification we had received. So we'll get you more on that as that develops. But I want to kick off the show with detailing what happened yesterday at the White House. President Trump is really working aggressively hard to end all wars throughout this world, and it's really greatly appreciated. But specifically, he's now hyper-focused on the Middle East. Yesterday, he announced the Board of Peace, and it was quite the announcement. Let's take a listen.
To ensure the success of this effort, my plan calls for the creation of a new international oversight body, the Board of Peace, we call it, the Board of Peace, sort of a beautiful name, the Board of Peace, which will be headed not at my request, believe me, I'm very busy, but we have to make sure this works. The leaders of the Arab world and Israel and everybody involved asked me to do this, so it would be headed by a gentleman known as President Donald J. Trump of the United States. That's what I want this some extra work to do, but it's so important that I'm willing to do it, and we'll do it right, and we're going to put leaders from other countries on, and leaders that are very distinguished leaders, and we'll have a board, and one of the people that wants to be on the board is the UK former Prime Minister, Tony Blair, good man, very good man, and some others, and they'll be named over the next few days, and it'll be quite the board. Working, everybody wants to be on it now. I don't know if that had anything to do. They named me and everybody else wanted to be on it. I guess they figure, well, he's a soft touch. He'll be easy to deal with.
Now, President Trump making that announcement yesterday with the Prime Minister of Israel nearby. And it's not just Israel supporting this. There's been several Middle Eastern countries who have come forward and have signed off on all of this, releasing a statement yesterday. But those countries specifically are Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and so many others. Also, it's interesting to say that Qatar also released a statement. They are in favor of all of this. Now, obviously, we've seen over the last few days, President Trump has been taking meetings with several Middle Eastern countries. So obviously, this was something he was working on. And so it's refreshing to see that peace is something that this White House is focused on. Obviously, we're done with all of these foreign wars. But not many people happy when they heard that Blair was also going to be a part of this. I saw a lot of people on social media sounding off because they are not happy with that move. But folks, when you go through the 20-point plan, it details exactly how he intends on getting to this peace agreement, specifically with Hamas. He's looking to end the war in Gaza right now. And in this report, he's pretty much saying that Hamas is going to have to release all of the hostages that they have within the first 72 hours. He also details that Israel is going to have to release those who are serving life sentences. Up to 250 of these prisoners are also going to be released, plus 1,700 Gazans who were detained on October 7th. So there's a lot of individuals who are going to be released. Again, these are very likely to be terrorists. And so I don't know how that's going to end up, but it looks like Israel's on board with this agreement. We do not have a timetable as to when this agreement might be actually finalized, when Hamas might begin to release these hostages. But President Trump saying that peace is a top priority for his administration. And if Hamas doesn't agree to this, he's given Benjamin Netanyahu all permission to just move forward and to completely abolish and get rid of Hamas completely. So we'll continue to follow this. Obviously, this is something we could all support, ending this war, ending our influence in this war as well, our financial influence in this war as well, something that President Trump continues to say is a top priority for his administration. So it is very interesting to see, and you have to give credit where credit's due. Let's turn to another victory for the president. There was a very big announcement, and we are excited to hear about this, but YouTube has agreed to pay President Donald Trump $24.5 million in his settlement. It's all in regards to YouTube suspending his accounts on January 6th, and after January 6th, I should say, and they're admitting fault. Now, the interesting angle to all of this is a portion of that those funds are actually going to now go to the new White House, the ballroom at the White House. Now, that's very, very interesting. So a chunk of that settlement money is going to have to go to the ballroom, and it's not just that, too. He also recently settled the lawsuits with other providers, like Meta, for example. So a lot of these companies are being forced to admit wrongdoing after they suspended the president's accounts, and they're coughing up millions and millions of dollars, which is great right now for the administration. But if you're an average streamer or just a journalist who is out there speaking the truth in regards to, let's just say, COVID, you had your account suspended, and there's no massive settlement for you, unfortunately. You see, YouTube continues to go out there, and they continue to say that they have begun a new pilot program to bring back a lot of these accounts that were wrongfully taken off, wrongfully banned. But we haven't really seen much in that. So many accounts are still banned and they have not been reinstated. We know here on InfoWars that Alex Jones had Alex Jones Live just recently added last week. And then within a few hours, it was quickly banned. I've reached out again to Google/YouTube and they have not given comment. I've reached up twice on that. So although they say that they're turning a new leaf, are they really? Because they're out here still banning accounts. So we'll continue to follow through with that because that is something we all need to be calling out. Because although they'll sit there and they'll tell Chairman Jim Jordan that that they are all on board with this and bringing back these accounts, people like Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, well, they're still banned from the platform. I wanted to bring you a story that I don't know if everyone saw yesterday, but it's an actual bombshell, this story. There's apparently a whistleblower who has now come forward, and it's an FBI whistleblower. And this whistleblower is alleging that there were FBI agents who were used as honeypots during President Trump's 2016 campaign to try to entrap the president and members of his campaign. Now, obviously, folks, you didn't think it'd get any more crazier than what it's already gotten at this point. But it appears to be the case that it was even worse than what we even expected. According to this whistleblower, Fox has actually obtained their whistleblower complaints. They're claiming that this was all the directive of former FBI Director James Comey. They're saying that Comey was the one who did this, and it's actually an unofficial investigation. They wanted to go around having to have any documents regarding this. And ultimately, they're saying that there was two women, female agents, who were used for this. And the only reason why the program was pulled, the investigation was pulled, was because, well, there was a reporter who had actually grabbed a photo of one of these agents. And so they quickly ended it. Now, again, this whistleblower is saying that they were the one who was put in charge of investigating and digging into this. But it just goes to show, yet again, how deep this all goes. These people really tried their very best to go after President Trump, even before he was elected president. And they failed. They failed. They tried to use female agents to go after him and to go after members of his campaign. And we don't know how far they were able to get. We don't know if there was anyone on his campaign who may have started seeing one of these female FBI agents. But this is how James Comey ran the FBI. When President Trump calls him a dirty cop, that's an understatement at this point. He is a treasonous pig. The fact that he was the one who signed off on this and wanted to make sure that there was no paper trail involved in this. Well, if these allegations are true, we've got a much bigger issue on our hand. And in fact, the current charges he's facing that he was just recently indicted on are really just a minor slap on the wrist for what he allegedly actually has conducted during his time at the FBI. You see, James Comey belongs in prison, but sadly, he still hasn't been arrested. And obviously, later on in the program, we're going to be talking to Roger Stone about this, because this is something that he is very passionate about, given the fact that they did target him. They did go after him. They did send dozens of armed agents to his home. So he has a lot to be upset about, obviously, and rightfully so. But again, it just shows you how aggressive the deep state operatives were when it came to going after the president. How much of a threat they viewed President Trump as being. They used honeypots to go after him. Their own FBI agents. As absurd as that is, it's what happened. That's the reality. And again, we're looking for more information on this. We're going to be digging into this story, because the fact that a whistleblower is now coming forward sounds great. But is it too late? Maybe you should have came forward a little sooner. Now, also, according to reports, I believe it's the Washington Times came out and said that Director Kash Patel and members of his team are obviously looking to see who those two female agents were, and they are looking to find out. So they're going to continue to dig into this one. Again, we're learning more and more about how aggressive deep state went to go after President Trump. Now we're waiting for President Trump to arrive. He is speaking in Virginia later today, and we are very excited about this because, again, there's a new announcement coming out. Obviously, we're keeping our eye on it. It looks like he has arrived, and he's making his way to speak to those on the military base right now, and we will bring you that when that goes live. But I also want to remind you guys how shady James Comey was. Let's talk about that for a second. You see, James Comey has no problem bragging about how awful of a human being he is. He thought he was so untouchable that this day would never come, that an indictment would never fall on his lap, that he would never be the first one, the dominoes, to fall. And that's apparently the case. Again, still no arrest, Pam Bondi. And I'm told that is something that is being held up by the DOJ. But it's really important to note that Comey is a treasonous pig, and he had no problem bragging about all the evil things he did, especially if you were General Michael Flynn, who obviously was targeted by the FBI. Now, like I said, we're going to play clip two for you, because clip two highlights how the FBI director decided that he was going to just surpass Flynn's legal team and just call up Flynn and say, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. We're going to send some agents over to talk to you. Now, obviously, Flynn probably thought that was a casual discussion, given the fact that that was the FBI director who was calling him and was trying to go around him having attorneys. But take a look and take a listen, I guess I should say, as to how James Comey just kind of laughs off the whole incident.
FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over. And so we placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure. Nobody else was there. They interviewed him in a conference room at the White House Situation Room, and he lied to them. And that's what he's now pled guilty to.
What did he think they were coming over there for?
I don't think he knew. No, we didn't tell him. Just said, we've got a couple, sending over a couple of agents. I want to ask you some questions. I didn't have this conversation. My deputy director did. But hope you got a few minutes. You can sit down and talk to them. And he said, sure.
Now, obviously, General Flynn had nothing to hide, and that's probably why he welcomed these FBI agents. But little did he know, he was a part of a much bigger plot to try to take down the President of the United States and their Russian collusion hoax. Now, folks, there are very few people who are going to push for this accountability tour to kick off and to make sure that individuals, not only just James Comey, but everyone was a part of that plot to go after people like General Flynn and Roger Stone, that everyone is taken down. Now, I continue to talk to my sources over at the DOJ, over at the FBI, and although the FBI is ready to start making these arrests, the big holdup seems to be from the top dog over at the DOJ. AG Pambondi apparently is the one dragging her feet on a lot of this. Keep in mind, there's still no arrest, even though Comey was indicted last week. And we saw what happened when the Biden regime was able to land an indictment. So why aren't we giving them the same treatment? It's strange how we're living by two sets of rules, and for some reason, the AG just continues to pretend like this is acceptable. Again, we're going to continue to follow this story, and we're going to continue to talk about it because, like I said, Roger Stone joining us later in the program to sound off on this issue, but this isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And so Comey is going to have to answer for all of this, and thankfully, there will be no immunity. Now, I wanted to turn to another story that happened yesterday. There was a hearing that had gone on yesterday on the Hill, and it was in regards to crime. Now, obviously, the news that we've seen lately has been a bit depressing in regards to longtime career criminals not getting thrown in the slammer, and unfortunately, innocent Americans and even a Ukrainian refugee really paying the ultimate consequences for these relaxed criminal laws, I guess we could just say, because it's criminal. They always call it criminal justice reform. I hate that term. It makes it sound like it's innocence. It is a criminal bill of rights where criminals have more rights than their own victims. And that's why we've landed in this situation where so many Americans, especially females, and I don't know why women haven't woken up to this and started changing their voting habits, but we're continuously learning about how women are being targeted by career criminals. And very little's being done because they live in liberal areas, whether it's the county, whether it's the city that they live in, whatever it is, they just fail to prosecute these individuals according to the law. Well, one father was sounding off after his 22-year-old daughter was brutally murdered by a career criminal yesterday. We're going to play clip three for you, but I want you to take a listen because this father's words really hurt. It pierces at your heart because you could just feel his anger, obviously, losing his daughter. But most importantly, when you've realized that this was all avoidable, the news is absolutely devastating. Take a listen.
How many of y'all have kids? I'm just curious. Here's what I need you to do. When I tell you this story, think about your kids. Think about your child coming home from a night out with their friends, laying down, going to sleep, feeling somebody come in the room and wake them, and drag her out of bed, naked, forced on her knees with her hands over her head, begging for her life, begging for her hero, her father, me, that couldn't be there. She was 5'3". She weighed 115 pounds. Bang! dead. Gone. Why? Because Alexander Devante Dickey, who was arrested 39 times, 25 felonies, was on the street. How about that? How good are we doing for our family? How good are you doing for your kids? He should have been in jail for over 140 years for all the crimes he committed. You know how much time he spent in prison? A little over 600 days in 10 years. He's only 30 years old. He was committing 2.65 crimes a year since he was 15 years old. But nobody could figure out that he couldn't be rehabilitated. Well, you'd have to put him in prison to see if he could be rehabilitated. Isn't that the idea of prison? But no, my daughter wanted to be a teacher. She finally figured it out.
Obviously, it's devastating to hear that father's, his words, his hurt, and we all empathize for that. Again, this is what it's like when you have these liberal prosecutors, these liberal judges who continuously give criminals opportunity after opportunity to go out there and re-offend. Now, it looks like the president is coming out right now. He's in Virginia, and he's about to speak. You know, we heard from Pete Hegseth moments ago. There's new standards for members of our military. Let's take a listen to the president of the United States.
Fantastic job. I've never walked into a room so silent before. This is very... Don't laugh. You're not allowed to do that. You know what? Just have a good time. And if you want to applaud, you applaud. And if you want to do anything you want, you can do anything you want. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can leave the room. Of course, there goes your rank. There goes your future. But you just feel nice and loose, okay? Because we're all on the same team. And I was told that, sir, you won't hear a... You won't hear a murmur in the room. I said, we got to loosen these guys up a little bit. So you just have a good time. But I want to thank Secretary Hegseth and General Kane, General Raisin Kane for a reason, they call him that. When I heard his name, I said, you're the guy I'm looking for. The Joint Chiefs of Staff and so many others in this room who together represent the greatest and most elite fighting force in the history of the world, the United States military. We're very proud of our military. I rebuilt the military during my first term. It's one of the greatest achievements. We had the greatest economy in history, and I built the military. Those are the two things I say more than anything else. And I also kept us safe at the borders. We had very good borders. We didn't have people coming in from jails and prisons and everything like took place over the last 4 years. They'll never forget what happened to this country over the last 4 years with the incompetence. There could be no higher honor than to serve as your commander-in-chief. It is a great honor. I look at you, you're just incredible people. Central casting, I might add. To each and every one of you, I thank you for your unwavering devotion to the armed forces and to the country that we've all sworn a sacred oath to defend. We all have that oath, every one of us. I'm thrilled to be here this morning to
address. We're running up against a hard break right now, but we're going to be back in just a moment. Do not go anywhere. President Trump is going to continue to speak, and we'll have this for you as it continues. So do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I was not trying to do a product placement thing here. We're at Rex's 23rd birthday. And with my dad and mother, Dad, we're so proud of you. Great job, the surgeons. Thanks for all your prayers for my dad. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theultrashore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. But I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turned darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who was it? Who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
It was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. They're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products. This is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
You put that on.
does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimers, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, we got the best brands, the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of mammals, milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I've never really known what it was.
No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, uh-uh. I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... Though she came on the show like 6 months ago, and she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bouncing off the walls 30 minutes later.
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radical powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty claims. Love you, Charlotte. So you just saw a quick video I shot at dinner Sunday night with my parents and my four amazing children. I'm sitting there at dinner, and my mother starts talking about how great her hair looks and how great her skin is and how healthy my dad is because of bovine colostrum. And I go, oh, yeah, where'd you get that? 3 months ago, we got in the test samples. We've been selling it for 2 months. They're the very best. I went and gave them a few canisters. They're like, oh, yeah, that is your bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks of what a mammal puts off is so incredible. It's just all these super nutrients, your immune system. It's really mother's growth hormone, natural growth hormone, healthy. That's what it is from the cow. We have the best at thealexjonesstore.com, discounted right now. And I am so excited about this because we did a survey a year ago to the alexjonesstore.com customers and said, what do you want? They said, we want bovine colostrum. We finally got it in, and the reviews are insane from listeners. The only thing that's getting better reviews, literally 5 stars, it's like 4.5, is our Ultra Methylene Blue. So get Ultra Methylene Blue, the best methylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and bovine colostrum with a bunch of other super nutrients that supercharge it right now, and it funds this operation. And regardless of what happens to InfoWars, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. So it's funding the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X and other places. So they shut the studio down. We have backups. Thanks for your support. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We are here watching as President Trump speaks in Virginia. He is on a military base right now, and he has a lot that he's saying. So let's jump in on that and take a listen.
I'm going to give myself 2 or 3 for that one. And then we just have the one to settle, and we have to settle it up with President Putin. And Zelensky, got to get them together and get it done. But the only way we can do that is through strength. I mean, if we were weak, they wouldn't even take my phone call. But we have extreme strength. We had the horror show in Afghanistan, which is really the reason I think that Putin went in. He saw that horror show by Biden and his team of incompetent people. And that showed, I think it gave him a path in. I wasn't there any longer. I watched that and it was so horrible. I think it was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country.
Oh, thank you.
And now
sorry,
we're back.
I can't see myself.
And that's it. We're not going to have any of that crap happen, I can tell you. That was terrible, so terrible. Together we're reawakening the warrior spirit, and this is a spirit that won and built this nation, and from the cavalry that tamed the Great Plains to the ferocious, unyielding power of Patton Bradley and the great General Douglas MacArthur. These are all great men. In this effort, we're a team, and so my message to you is very simple. I am with you. I support you. And as president, I have your backs 100%. You'll never see me even waver a little bit. It's the way it is. And that includes our great police officers and firemen and all of these people that are doing so well.
Together over the next few years, we're going to make our military stronger, tougher, faster, fiercer, and more powerful than it has ever been before. I rebuilt our nuclear, as you probably know, but we'll upgrade that also and just hope we never have to use it. We have to hope we never have to use it, because the power of that is so incredible. I see things. I don't think they'd show it to you. I really wouldn't want them to show it to you. But when you see the result of what's left, you never want to use that. Never. Never, ever. We were a little bit threatened by Russia recently, and I sent a submarine, nuclear submarine, the most lethal weapon ever made. Number one, you can't detect it. There's no way. We're 25 years ahead of Russia and China in submarines. Russia's actually second in submarines. China's third, but they're coming up. They're coming up. They're way lower in nuclear, too, but in 5 years, they'll be equal. They're coming up. And you don't have to be that good with nuclear. You could have 1/20th what you have now and still do the damage that would be, that'd be so horrendous. But I announced that, based on his mention of nuclear, and it was really a stupid person that works for him, mentioned the word nuclear, I moved a submarine or two, I won't say about the two, over to the coast of Russia, just to be careful, because we can't let people throw around that word. I call it the N-word. There are two N-words, and you can't use either of them. You can't use either of them. And frankly, if it does get to use, we have more than anybody else. We have better. We have newer. But it's something we don't ever want to even have to think about. But when somebody mentions it, that submarine started immediately thereafter. And it's just lurking, but I'm sure we're not going to have to use it. But it's an amazing, it's undetectable, totally. Ours is, theirs isn't. Theirs are totally detectable. We can detect them easily. We go right to the spot. But we have genius apparatus that doesn't allow detection. It doesn't allow detection at all by anybody, above water or below water. It's incredible. We're way ahead of everybody in that and other things. As a result of the exciting renewal of the spirit of our armed forces, and that's what it is, it's really reaching that spirit unprecedented heights. Over the past 8 months, new enlistments, I'm so proud of this, have surged to record highs, the highest we've ever had. And we used to have recruiting shortages. If you remember, about a year and a half ago, I was at the beginning stage of a campaign, and things came out that you couldn't get people to join the armed forces. And by the way, the police also. Fire department. I always put the fire department in because they're great. They're great. And I got 95% of their vote, too. That helps. When you get 95% of their vote, you always have to mention them. But they're great. And they're brave. In our inner cities, which we're going to be talking about, because it's a big part of war now. It's a big part of war. But the firemen go up on ladders, and you have people shooting at them while they're up on ladders. I don't even know if anybody heard that. And I said, don't talk about it much, but I think you have to. Our firemen are incredible. They're up on one of these ladders that goes way up to the sky, rescuing people, and you have animals shooting at them, shooting bullets at firemen that are way up in death territory. You fall off that ladder, it's over. It's over. They don't even have to inspect you when you hit the ground. And you have people shooting bullets at them in some of these inner cities. We're not going to let that happen. So I always mention the firemen because that's actually a big problem we have. They are unbelievable. Like you, they're unbelievable people. For the first time on record in 2025, the Navy, Air Force, and Space Force all met or surpassed their recruiting goals 3 months early. That never happened before. And the Army did even better. Congratulations, Army. They met everything. And these were the highest standards because we're making it larger. So these were much higher standards than you had 4 years ago, 3 years ago, during the Sleepy Joe Biden era. And The Army did it 4 months early. And you remember, a year and a half ago, they said the big story is that we're way behind with the Army, Air Force, the Navy, the Marines. We're way behind, Coast Guard, and even Space Force. I love Space Force because that was my creation. You know, when you create something, I love it. And the people we put in there were good. I got that right. We put in great people initially, and we've really dominated. We really dominate in that sphere now. We're way behind China and Russia. And now we dominate. Space Force turned out to be a very important thing. I said from the beginning, you know, when Biden came into office, he wanted to terminate. He said, and this thing called Space Force, so we could get rid of that. And he got hammered by the people in this room for even suggesting it, because it's very important, one of the most important. And as time goes by, it'll get more and more important. But we're now at 106% of our recruiting targets for the year, and that's the best in far more than a generation. And for the Marines, morale is so strong that the Marine Corps will meet its 2026 retention targets before the end of October, which never happens. And that's the earliest it's ever happened in the history of our country. And it makes you feel good, you know. I felt guilty. I'd go make a speech in front of never people like you. You are the leaders. But people, soldiers. And I felt embarrassed because there'd be stories about, you know, we couldn't fill up our Army, Navy, Air Force. We couldn't fill them up. And it was headlines. It was during Biden's 4 years, the auto pen. I call him the auto pen. It's, how would you like to have your thing signed by an auto pen? You know, when I have a general and I have to sign for a general because we have beautiful paper, the gorgeous paper, I said, throw a little more gold on it. They deserve it. I want the A paper, not the D paper. We used to sign a piece of garbage. I said, this man's going to be a general, right? Yeah. I don't want to use this. I want to use the big, beautiful, firm paper. I want to use the real gold writing when you talk about the position, and they're beautiful. And, but how would you like to have that where you, some kid sitting in the back office is having it signed with an auto pen? I thought about it, and I thought about you people first, admirals, generals. I said, somebody works his whole life. He gets into maybe the academies or wherever, but however you got there, and you go through years of work, and now you become an admiral or a general or whatever. And when you do, the president of the United States signs your commission, as you know, and that commission is beautifully displayed. And I sign it. Actually, I love my signature. I really do. Everyone loves my signature. But I signed it very proudly, and I always think to myself, how can you have an auto pen sign this? It's just so disrespectful. To me, it's just totally disrespectful. And it turned out that almost everything he did was signed by auto pen, except for when he gave his son, Hunter, pardon. He signed that one. And that's actually the worst signature I've ever seen. That was the pen. The auto pen looks much better. But as leaders are, commitment to every patriot who put on the uniform is to ensure that American military remains the most lethal and dominant on the planet, not merely for a few years, but for the decades and generations to come, for centuries. We must be so strong that no nation will dare challenge us, so powerful that no enemy will dare threaten us, and so capable that no adversary can even think about beating us. And we've had it recently. I had India and Pakistan were going at it, and I called them both. And in this case, I used trade. I'm not going to trade with you. You start two nuclear nations, big nuclear. No, you cannot do that. I said, yes, I can. You go into this freaking war that I'm hearing about. You know, actually, they just shot down seven planes. It was starting. There's a lot of bad blood. And I said, you do this, there's not going to be any trade. And I stopped the war. It was raging for 4 days, but that was just the beginning. And we stopped it. It was a great thing. And the Prime Minister of Pakistan was here, along with the Field Marshal, who's a very important guy in Pakistan. And he was here 3 days ago. And I didn't even realize it as beautifully as he said it, but he said that to a group of people that were with us, two generals, but a group, he said, this man saved millions of lives because he saved the war from going on, and that war was going to get very bad, very, very bad. President Trump saved millions and millions of lives. That was a bad war. And I was very honored. I loved the way he said it. Susie Wiles was there. She said that was the most beautiful thing. But we saved a lot of them. Saved a lot of them. Even in Africa, we saved the Congo with Rwanda. They've been fighting for 31 years, 10 million people dead. I got that one done. And very proud of it. So if this works out, we'll have eight in 8 months. That's pretty good. Nobody's ever done that. Will you get the Nobel Prize? Absolutely not. They'll give it to some guy that didn't do a damn thing. They'll give it to a guy that wrote a book about the mind of Donald Trump and what it took to solve the wars. And he'll get the Nobel Prize. Will go to a writer. No, but well, let's see what happens. But it's be a big insult to our country. I will tell you that. I don't want it. I want the country to get it. But it should get it because there's never been anything like it. Think of it. So if this happens, I think it will. I don't say that lightly because I know more about deals than anybody. This is what my whole life was based on. And they can change, and this can certainly change. But we have just about everybody. We have one signature that we need, and that signature will pay in hell if they don't sign. I hope they sign for their own good and we create something really great. But to have done eight of them is just like such an honor. And then we have Putin and Zelensky, the easiest one of them all. I said, that one I'll get done. I thought that was going to be first. The other was much harder, some of them. Azerbaijan this was going on for 36 years. They said, it's not solvable, sir. You can't, don't do it. I said, I will do it. I will do it. And I got on the phone with the two countries. They were great. They were great. I knew immediately. I knew as soon as I started talking to them, we're going to solve that war. We did. Now they're so happy. Now they're friends. One said he's been president for 22 years. He said, you know, for 22 years, I did nothing but kill his people. They were in the room together at the Oval Office. And they started off spread like this. They have the beautiful Resolute desk. And one was here, and one was here. You couldn't get further away. That's the furthest I've ever seen two people in front of me. And as the hour went by, they got closer, closer, closer. And at the end of the hour, we had it done. And they hugged and hugged and hugged. And I said, that's so nice, and you're going to remain friends. And I spoke to them, one of them, the other day. He said, no, he's now my friend. But for 22 years, he's been the head of Azerbaijan for 22 years. And the other guy, great guy, too, seven. And you know that war. That was a war that was not solvable. He said for 7 years. The other one said for 22 years. All I did was kill his people. That's all I've done. I said, well, we're going to put a stop to that. So we solved that.
I want to step in on this. President Trump speaking at the Department of War today. President Trump in Virginia for just a few more moments. And then he's making his way back to the White House because he's expected to deliver more remarks, which we will be covering today. But I wanted to be focused on this subject matter because obviously there's a lot of announcements that are coming out from the Secretary of War himself, Pete Hegseth, speaking moments before President Trump arrived, saying that there's going to be new standards in regards to fitness in the military, saying that these will be gender neutral, and said, you know, if women could pass, that's great, but they're not going to be having these two sets of standards for two different genders. So Pete Hegseth now really crunching down and making sure that our troops, our service members are healthy, that they are ready for war if they are needed, which obviously is something that we've been trying to, you know, get our military ready for. They have not been military ready, unfortunately, under the Biden regime, but the Trump administration is correcting those issues. I want to bring in veteran J.D. Rivera to the program because J.D., although he wasn't here to discuss this today, he has proudly served this country, and I wanted his reaction. So, J.D., I want to thank you for being here. Before we dive into the government adding you and so many other J6 defendants to a terror watch list, I just wanted your initial reaction to hearing about these new health standards that are coming out of the Secretary of War, who just spoke about it today. But what are your thoughts on the Department of War laying these out?
I think it's amazing. It's way long past due for us to have these standards set. For too long, we've allowed military personnel, basically do whatever they want. As you said, they have gone too long, especially under the Biden administration, where they're not war ready. They're not ready. And for Marines, as a Marine, I could tell you, we're supposed to be ready at a 24-hour notice. And to have these standards put in, this makes our entire military force ready. And we have been, I could say, we've been the laughingstock of all military, just in general, the American military, because of how we've set standards aside to make it easier for certain individuals to get into the military or be a part of a specific MOS. So I'm extremely excited that PXF is doing this.
Yeah, it's good to hear that they're making this a top priority. Obviously, you need to be healthy. You need to be in shape, especially when you're serving next to someone who isn't up to these standards. I mean, I cannot imagine if you're really relying on this individual to help you out in your time of need and they're out of shape. That's something that shouldn't be allowed in the first place. And so it's good to hear that they are pushing forward with this. But JD, you're not here to talk about this announcement. You were actually here because there is going to be in just a few moments a hearing in the Senate. It's the Homeland Security Committee having a hearing regarding the TSA terror watch list is what I call it. But it's known as the Quiet Skies list. Now, this came onto my radar after I was speaking to you and so many J6ers who were added to this list. We actually have one of your boarding passes. And I kind of want to give a little background to our audience in case they weren't aware of this program. But ultimately, the Biden regime utilized this program to put Americans, veterans, their political opposition, their critics on this terror watch list, which subjected you ultimately to a higher level of security. You were checked multiple times throughout the airports. You were followed by federal air marshals onto your flights. Throughout your flight, they made sure to have them surrounding you, but you probably weren't aware of it for some time. But there was multiple U.S. air marshals who would follow you on your flights. And the idea here was to shame you and so many others. So now we're learning more about this. Now we're learning that there's over 200 January 6th defendants who were added to this terror watch list, not just you, where thanks to Senator Rand Paul, who has just released a detailed report on all of this. I just want to hear your initial reaction to the update that they now know that over 200 J6ers were added to this list and they were forced to go through these additional security measures because they were designated as a terrorist.
Yeah. I mean, again, going back to my military service, I was in Iraq, in 2004, 2005 fighting actual terrorists, right? I'm a supply guy, but I was augmented to First Marine Division. So when I was added to this terrorist watch list outside of the FBI coming in my house with the rifles at the ready, I didn't even know what to think. And I think you were the very first person that I spoke to about this because you had brought it up. And people didn't believe us. People thought, oh, that happens all the time. Everybody gets these quad S's. And I was trying to explain to people that that might happen every now and then, but we J6ers are getting it every single time we go to the airport. So even if we had somebody with us, they would get the quad S's. And it was ridiculous because the very first time that I found out about it, and you broke this door for me, was I was going to a on a missions trip with my church. So me, the pastors, and about six of the teenage kids that were on this missions trip had to go through an entire TSA full-on pat-down, bomb swab, you name it. It was probably one of the most ridiculous sights I've seen for these young kids having to go through something just because they decided me, who they charged with four misdemeanors, needed to be designated a terrorist.
Yeah, it's absolutely sickening. And I again, was learning about this and wanted to learn how you ended up on the list. So I actually submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to TSA, in which they ignored me, which resulted in me filing a lawsuit that's still ongoing. But TSA doesn't want to hand over the documents, the communication records that they have regarding how you ended up on that list. In fact, they had told my attorney that this is a national security issue, and so they can't hand over these documents that I'm requesting. But it's not a national security issue. It's a matter of figuring out who put you and so many others on this list. And, you know, Rand Paul releasing all of this information earlier today, and we're expected to hear from him in just a few moments, but saying that an internal TSA memo from January 15, 2021 authorized watch listing individuals suspected of traveling to Washington, D.C. in connection with January 6th to be added to this list, even though they didn't have any evidence in regards to that. So we now have the memos to back it up. They're saying it's north of 200 Americans that were added to this list. Just your initial reaction to now Rand Paul jumping on board with all of this and going through the messages and finding out that, yeah, they did intentionally target you.
Well, I'm a little little upset about the fact that they're now jumping on board with us, because I remember when you were trying to break this story, we were trying to get help and trying to figure out what was going on. And there were already, it wasn't nearly 200. I think there was just a handful of us, but we knew something was going on. And everybody, again, because it was J6 related, nobody wanted to touch it. Everybody thought it was just, you know, people, I think, thought it was going to go away and didn't expect President Trump to pardon us the way he did. So I'm happy that he's pointing it out now. But it's after the fact, right? You know, we were going through all this for a very long time, for 4 years, and nobody wanted to touch these things. And that's why I'm grateful for you, because you did. You kept the story alive. You let everybody know. So yes, I'm happy he's doing it. I feel like it's a little too late, because I don't know personally, unless you do, what can be done at this point. But it is important to know why they actually put us on, because I think this is going to help, many J6ers in the future here to come, with stuff that we have going on as well.
Yeah, the civil lawsuits, this definitely will help as well, because this is another form of harassment from the federal government. The exact number was that they found at least 234 individuals were added to this terror watch list on January 15th after this internal memo from TSA's intelligence agency was shipped out to a bunch of their departments. So again, that's the reason why you were added to this list. And I want to remind our audience, you weren't charged with a felony. You were charged with misdemeanors, and they sentenced you to prison time. You actually went to prison for this while you were filming that day, while you were recording. And there was a local news affiliate in Florida who was going to utilize your footage. But again, because you're a conservative Christian, you were targeted by the Biden regime, as so many were. JD, I want to thank you for joining us today. And we're going to continue to watch the hearing as it begins. So we look forward to getting your take on it later. So thank you very much, JD.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you, JD. We appreciate you as well. Folks, I want to remind our audience that right now over at the alexjonesstore.com, we have Ultimate Creatine Powder. It is on sale. It's the BOGO Mega Sale. It's going on right now for a limited time only. When you purchase the Ultimate Creatine, you're now going to get a bottle of it for free. So now is the time to go over and to make this purchase. It's buy one, get one free for a very limited time. Of course, this is great for those of you who like to work out. I know I take this every single day. It's great for your brain health as well as helping you build some muscles. And so we could all get on board with that. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. When you make this purchase, you are supporting us here, and we greatly appreciate it when you do so. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. More underway in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little, stepping towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, quack, kong, whatever. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga baka woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
Program. a lot of live events happening all across the country, and we are focused on bringing those to you as important news continues to make its way into the headlines. So we will be bouncing around to a lot of things going on right now. We're waiting for President Trump to make his way back to the White House because he is going to be making an announcement later today, later this morning. So I'll bring you that when that starts. But we're also going to be focused on a hearing that's going on today in the Senate. It is a very important hearing because it outlines how the Biden regime went after average Americans, conservatives, their critics. They put them on a terror watch list, and they targeted them extensively by surveilling them, following them in the airports, having air marshals, federal air marshals, actually board the flight with them. You know, I broke the exclusive story last year when Tulsi Gabbard and so many other J6ers were added to the list. But most people don't realize how bad it was. They actually used these federal air marshals, multiple of them, sometimes 4 to 5 of them, were on the flights, keeping an eye on the person they were focused on. But the reality of it is the Quiet Skies program, which is now gone, thanks to President Donald Trump and DHS's Kristi Noem, the program spent millions and millions of your money on keeping this program alive. It actually never caught a terrorist, and it's been around for over a decade. People like Sonia Labasco, who we've had on this show several times, she's going to be front and center at the hearing, listening in. She's going to be joining us. If she does get a second to pop on out, she wants to talk about it. She's been fighting for this for over a decade now to eliminate this list because she knew it was violating our constitutional rights. So, folks, we're going to be focused on this. Again, when I broke this story last year, it wasn't just me. Wendy Mahoney, another independent journalist, was also helping me doing the digging into all of this. But we obtained everything that's now going to be aired out in front of this committee. And so we're very excited about this because there's so much that we're going to be covering today. Again, folks, this is the Biden regime. They went after their political opposition, and we now have all the evidence for it. We warned you about it, even when it wasn't popular to come out and talk about it, you know. As I said, I was the one with Wendy Mahoney to bring you the exclusive that Tulsi Gabbard was added to the list. But here's the thing. Here's the catch. We didn't have it first. Originally, Fox was actually talking about it, and their reporters were trying to vet it. But they didn't run it until a week later. Why? Well, because obviously when you cover a watch list like this, well, you're probably going to get added to that list. But it looks like we weren't added to that exact list, but I might be out on a couple of others. The Biden regime still has those. So again, folks, it's just absolutely absurd. This was a story that we broke to you first because so many other reporters were too afraid to talk about it. But we're going to continue to talk about it. We're not stopping here. And we're going to continue to play the hearing because I really want to hear what Rand Paul is going to say. Because Senator Rand Paul has dived into all of this, obviously, after Tulsi Gabbard was added to the list. But it took them forever. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I was reaching out prior to Gabbard being added. We were reaching out when J6ers were added. You know, Wendy's going to talk about a story that she broke when a baby, a newborn, was put on the list because we found out with their boarding pass had the quad S's on it. So again, you know, we're hearing about hundreds, exactly at least 234 J6ers or people who were just traveling to the Capitol were added to that list. We're not letting up anytime soon. This needs to be exposed, and that's what we're going to be doing today. You know, government oversight is critical, but since, you know, we have this changeover in administration, people just tend to go away and pretend like it never happened in the first place. But guess what? When you do that, it will continue to happen just when there's a new administration in the White House. So again, as we get ready to kick off the second hour of the program, Wendy Mahoney is going to be joining me to detail what we've uncovered. Plus, we'll be bringing you the hearing as well. So a lot going on over here. Plus, Roger Stone is going to be joining us in about an hour. Roger is going to be detailing specifically his reaction to James Comey still not being arrested. James Comey was indicted last week, and for some reason, the wheels over the DOJ are moving aggressively slow, and it's not accidental. This is all intentional. So although there are some key people, key fighters over at the DOJ who are ready to go out there and arrest James Comey, not everyone's on board. So Roger Stone joining us in just a few moments. Plus, there are so many other stories we're going to be unpacking for you as well. So do not go anywhere. We will be right back.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your Ultramethylene Blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexhealthstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexhealthstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at fan.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're going to head on over right now to Capitol Hill because Senator Rand Paul is speaking. The hearing that we just told you about for the TSA terror watch list has just begun. So let's take a listen.
You would have revealed them to be either a member of Congress or decorated active or former U.S. military members. In fact, they were surveilled likely for activities that were official duties during their time in the military or in Congress. All of this was wrong, and I'm glad that these abuses are beginning to be exposed. I commend Secretary Noem for ending Quiet Skies. But our work is not done. We must make sure that this program does not come back under another name. Every official who directed or approved surveillance of Americans for protected speech must be removed from office. Full transparency must become the rule, rather than requiring a year of investigation. The result will be a process that respects the Constitution, ends real-life shadow bans against Americans, and gives all of us the assurance that our government is focused on protecting us, not on chasing political ghosts. I now recognize the ranking member for his opening statement.
Well, thank you, Chairman Paul. Throughout my time in Congress, I have heard repeatedly from my constituents, particularly from members of Michigan's Arab and Muslim American community, about serious issues with the government's watch listing and travel screening practices. And while I appreciate the opportunity to discuss that today, I first want to raise some concerns about some other critical national security work that this committee is responsible for, but unfortunately the chairman of this committee has not prioritized. In a matter of hours, two critical Homeland Security authorities are set to expire. Cybersecurity information sharing protections that protect our economy against cyber attacks, and authorities that allow federal law enforcement to detect and mitigate threats posed by drones. We were scheduled to discuss these two bills to renew and improve these authorities 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately, the chairman abruptly canceled the meeting with absolutely no explanation. And while there is a two-month extension for both authorities included in the continuing resolution,
I want to step in on this because obviously this is a Democrat that is trying his very best to deflect from the Biden regime's abuse of power by illegally surveilling Americans on a terror watch list, putting them on the terror watch list. I'm going to go back to that once we get rid of that babbling idiot who is trying his very best to shift the attention to other issues. Obviously, other issues are very important, but this is very, very important. I wanted to remind our audience that, again, we've been talking about this for a very long time. I know Alex Jones has been talking about this terror watch list for a very long time, as well as myself. And another independent journalist I'm going to be bringing in right now, Wendy Mahoney, is here today. Wendy has been doing incredible work at exposing this Quiet Skies list, this terror watch list, and she is absolutely fearless and didn't fear being added to this list herself for exposing all of this. In fact, Wendy's story blew up last year when she exposed the federal government for adding a newborn baby to the list. Wendy joins us now. Wendy, it's good to have you here. We're going to keep an eye on the hearing and jump in and out of that. But, you know, I just wanted to talk about this because Senator Rand Paul has released a ton of important information prior to this hearing beginning. We're now learning the exact number. There's at least 234 Americans were added to the TSA terror watch list based on a memo that was sent out. Now, on that list, again, this was just those who were in kind of connection with January 6th. It doesn't specifically have any evidence that validates why they were added to that list as well. But now we have the number, and that's something that you and I have been trying to dig into for quite some time now. So I just want to hear your reaction on Senator Paul finally getting a figure, which is 234, at least 234 individuals. Get your reaction to that figure.
It's unbelievable. This is completely unconstitutional what they've done. And the thing is, Sonia Labosco, who brought this story to me, that's the reason that I was able to break the story with you and other stories. She talks about the fact that these people were put on this terror watch list. And, you know, it defies logic. If someone's put on a terror watch list and then they're followed around by bomb sniffing dogs and undercover agents and air marshals, you know, from point A to point B, harassing these people at TSA, like, why are they even on these planes? You have to ask that. And as far as this infant goes, that refers to A.J. Fisher's son. A.J. Fisher was a J6 defendant who did nothing wrong. And his wife actually booked a flight, and she was not in D.C. for J6, was not related in any way. And she and their infant son were put on the Quiet Skies list. They didn't know it. They had that quad S at the bottom of their boarding pass, that bottom right corner, didn't know anything about it. And they arrived unsuspecting at the airport. They go to the desk and the desk agent says, sorry, something's going on. We got to direct you over to TSA and you have to be inspected, you know, in a special way. And they go over there. The baby's crying. They're, you know, just inspecting them in every way possible, 45 minutes, the baby's crying. And this is very typical. I mean, these inspections, you know, where they pull you aside and, you know, look into your luggage and take everything apart and throw everything on the floor. And the wife is asking what the heck is going on. They missed their flight. They had to rebook a flight. Nobody compensates for that. There's no reason this infant should be on this list. And by the way, at the time when I broke that story for Uncover DC, there were people who came on in my X feed, Twitter at that time, and started arguing with me about the fact that there's no way that an infant could be put on that list. I'm like, no, you know what, Sherlock? I mean, it's unbelievable what our government has allowed. And, you know, while Tulsi Gabbard has discontinued the program, it makes you wonder whether these people have been removed from the list, because it's a completely secret program and there's no way to submit a complaint to anybody about the fact that you're on it. There's nobody to call. So, and you could be on it for 15 years, 7 years active, 8 years inactive. I mean, it's just really egregious what they've done here.
Yeah, Wendy, and while you're speaking, I actually just got an email from DHS right now outlining what they're doing in regards to the story that you and I broke together. Last year, we teamed up to report that Tulsi Gabbard was actually added to this list. Now, she was added after she criticized the Biden regime, but specifically Kamala Harris, and there was never any validation for it, of course. Now, I literally called, and once we got the evidence, I literally called Gabbard's team, and we notified them that she was added to this list. So she had a feeling that there was extra surveillance being used against her, but she didn't exactly have all the details. And again, Sonia Labosco has been an incredible asset in all of this, dealing with the whistleblowers directly, her and David Londo. And both of them should be speaking at this hearing, and I'll get into that in a little bit more. But they're not, unfortunately, due to, I'll just say, individuals who shouldn't be on this panel today speaking. And I'll get into all of that in just a few moments. But DHS ultimately calling out the former TSA head bosses, saying that, again, that they did confirm that Tulsi Gabbard was added to this list. At the same time, it was granted special privileges to those Democrat lawmakers, senators specifically, who had traveled and were added to the list. Well, they were exempt from this list, is what DHS is getting at. Now, if you're wondering what's going on right now under the Secretary of DHS, Christine Noem's direction. Well, she said she's referred this matter to the Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division, and to Congress for further investigation. She has also removed a total of five senior leaders from their positions who betrayed the trust of the American people. This includes the Executive Assistant Administration of Operations Support and the Deputy Assistant Administration for Intelligence and Analysts. That's over at TSA. And then again, she says that we're working with policymakers on Capitol Hill legislatively to figure out a ways to resolve this abuse of power. And they're also updating internal standard operation procedures and policies to ensure oversight. They're also reorganizing TSA's intelligence departments to hold senior officials accountable and make sure that they are providing oversight. Now, again, this list is no longer existing because of the DHS secretary. So now she's coming forward and she's making all of these changes. This is the stuff that we needed to see. This is what we needed over a year ago when we started reporting this. But sadly, you know, Wendy, you and I, when we were talking about J6ers being added to the list, I wasn't getting any answers from members of Congress. It wasn't until we found that the Tulsi Gabbard was added to the list did everyone start getting involved. So just your quick reaction to it, because we're going to go back to the hearing in just a moment.
Yeah, it's such a shame that it took a political figure to expose this, because these normal Americans, these J6ers that are on these lists and, you know, have been persecuted and prosecuted sometimes for nothing, for no reason at all, have no recourse and weren't paying much attention to them at that time. And these are just everyday Americans.
Yeah, they are. And it looks like, I believe this is Mark Crowder who's speaking right now. Let's head over to the hearing right now, because Mark Crowder, I believe this is him, if his name is covered right now, but he, I believe his wife was targeted. He's a federal employee, if this is him. This is someone that Sonia Labosco and David Londo, these two fighters against the Quiet Skies list, have been fighting for him. So let's take a listen.
Devastating attacks of September 11th, 2001. Driven by an unshakable resolve to ensure such a tragedy would never happen again, at its peak, the Federal Air Marshal Service embodied the highest standards of federal law enforcement, renowned for excellence in firearms, tactics, and specialized training. Today, I come before you to report that those standards have been eroded. The agency's once clear mission has been distorted by career bureaucrats and political appointees who prioritize personal advancement over the safety of our citizens. My testimony will expose how federal law enforcement agencies sworn to protect the Americans have been weaponized to target the very people it serves. On July 15, 2021, while serving in the Houston Field Office Operations Unit, I was monitoring special mission coverage flights in our area of responsibility. To my shock, I discovered that my wife, Christine, seated behind me, had been flagged in the FAMS system as a domestic terrorist, falsely accused of entering the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. I was horrified. I knew with absolute certainty that Christine was nowhere near the Capitol that day. My wife, who has a disability that prevents her from walking long distances, had simply exercised her First Amendment right to attend a rally for President Trump before returning to her hotel. As a federal air marshal with a top secret security clearance, I immediately reported the alarming designation to my supervisors, noting that, according to their system, I was living with a terrorist, a clear insider threat. The special agent in charge, William Opperly, instructed me to remain silent and let the investigation run its course. Shockingly, no one expressed concerns about the potential compromise of classified information through my household. SAC Opperly was later promoted to senior positions within the agency. From July 2021 till April 2023, Christine was subjected to approximately 13 special mission coverages. Each time she flew, teams of federal air marshals surveilled her. She was barred from checking in on the airport kiosk, online, and forced to endure long waits at ticket counters for TSA's verification of her identification and to take control of her luggage. She is then subjected to invasive secondary screening at TSA security checkpoints. After the checkpoint, she is then searched again at the jetway by the TSA's Advanced Threat Local Allocation Strategy Team, also known as ATLAS. This treatment extended to anyone traveling with her, including her elderly mother and our daughter, causing them both significant distress. In one particular disturbing incident, I was off duty flying armed with Christine. The FAM team assigned a surveillor that day had to coordinate with me, an armed federal air marshal, traveling with an alleged terrorist. How could an agency allow such a glaring operational and ethical conflict to persist? I only learned of my wife's designation because of my insider role within the agency. How many other innocent Americans have been falsely labeled as terrorists and surveilled without their knowledge? How many had their conversations, travel companions, and devices unknowingly monitored? With the assistance of Sonia Labasco and the Air Marshal National Council, I exposed this injustice and halted the surveillance of my family. At the same time, Quiet Skies missions and those targeting Americans who attended January 6 events, including public figures like Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, dominated FAM's operations. These politically motivated priorities diverted critical resources and genuine security threats, betraying the solemn promises we made after 9/11. Never again. The events I've described are betrayal of American values, the weaponization of federal law enforcement to harass and intimidate citizens exercising their constitutional rights is unconscionable. Senior officials at the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, TSA, and the FAM service should have recognized these actions as beyond the scope of lawful authority and intervened. Someone fabricated false claims about my wife's actions on January 6th. To advance a politically motivated agenda. Those responsible must be identified and accountability must be enforced to root out the corruption and restore public trust in federal law enforcement. Thank you for the opportunity to present my testimony.
Next up, we have Tristan Levitt. Mr. Levitt is the president of Empower Oversight, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to strengthening public integrity through research, education, and providing pro bono legal assistance to whistleblowers. Mr. Levitt previously served as Principal Deputy Special Counsel at the Office of Special Counsel and the General Counsel. It's a lot of counsels of the Merit Systems Protection Board. Mr. Levitt, you are recognized for your open statement.
Thank you. Chairman Paul, Ranking Member Peters, and distinguished members of the committee, thank you so much for having me to testify today. Empower Oversight provides legal representation to brave whistleblowers across the federal government. We're honored to represent several air marshals, including Senior Air Marshal Mark Crowder, here today. Mr. Crowder first came to Empower in 2022 through the Air Marshal National Council's indomitable executive director, Sonia Labasco, seated behind me. He raised concerns that his wife had been targeted for exercising her First Amendment rights alone. And if they truly considered her some sort of threat, why wasn't he walled off from seeing this information as he assigned missions of air marshals around the country? Despite his disclosures to the Office of Special Counsel, my former agency, and later to the DHS Inspector General, no meaningful investigation ever took place. That failure of oversight is exactly what allows abuses to fester. Ms. Labasco contacted us at Empower Oversight again in the beginning of August 2024 when air marshals wanted to blow the whistle on another disturbing case, the political targeting of Tulsi Gabbard through TSA's Quiet Skies program. The facts were alarming. Ms. Gabbard was added on July 23, 2024, just one day after she made statements to Laura Ingraham on Fox News, critical of Vice President Kamala Harris, who had just become the presumptive Democratic Party presidential nominee. Rather than using her passport photo as required, TSA officials used her official congressional photo, making clear that they knew exactly who she was. These initial whistleblower disclosures were reported by Wendy Strauss Mahoney on Uncover DC and digitally on the Brianna Morello Show. Despite Empower's experience with the DHSIG failing to investigate the Crowder situation, we asked them to investigate here, and we also submitted disclosures to Congress. Members of this committee and others pressed DHS for answers, and your persistence, Chairman Paul, helped ensure Secretary Noem became aware of the Quiet Skies program and ended it. Ending Quiet Skies was a very important step and well overdue. But that alone doesn't prevent what happened to the Crowders. They were not a part of the Quiet Skies program. And a program like Quiet Skies could always be revived if we fail to learn the lessons. The first lesson is very clear. Civil liberties cannot protect themselves. Independent oversight is essential from bodies like this and others. Whenever government cites national security to conceal its actions, the risk of abuse rises. And only oversight can shine the light needed to stop it. In this case, much more light is needed as it relates to Tulsi Gabbard. On January 28, 2025, the New York Times published a leak from the government attempting to explain away Ms. Gabbard's placement on Quiet Skies. The article claimed that her placement was related to her attending a conference at the Vatican, supposedly because of another attendee on the watch list. But the article admitted that she attended alongside another former member of Congress, Mick Mulvaney, who invited her. If Ms. Gabbard was truly flagged for that reason, why wasn't Mr. Mulvaney also added to Quiet Skies when he flew back from the conference of the Vatican? The government's story just doesn't add up, and any credible review must answer those questions. Secretary Noem announced their review revealed, quote, the Quiet Skies program was used as a political Rolodex of the Biden administration, end quote. However, she provided few details. Reports indicate that at least one elected official had her husband removed from the Quiet Skies list with a single phone call. These issues demand a full accounting. That's why Empower Oversight recently called on the DHS Inspector General to complete its work and make its report public. Normally, Inspector General reports with private information are kept internal. They have information about personal individuals. However, given Ms. Gabbard's prominence, the allegations of political targeting, and the large amount of selective information the government already leaked, there's a clear public interest here in transparency. DHSIG has released similar reports before when public figures were involved. Accountability cannot be achieved if this is swept under the rug in a private report. In addition, the investigation must look beyond Ms. Gabbard's case. Anyone who abused TSA protocols to target or protect individuals for political reasons must be held accountable. A thorough report is necessary to propose discipline for those who committed misconduct. Finally, another of the most important lessons is that none of this would have come to light without whistleblowers. Of course, it was obvious to Ms. Gabbard that she was subjected to extra screening. But what she didn't know and would never have known, it was that she was formally targeted through Quiet Skies. Only courageous insiders willing to speak up made that possible. After their disclosures, and when we brought these things to the attention of the IG, TSA opened a leak investigation. Of course, this was troubling. The legal question of whether whistleblowers may disclose so-called sensitive security information to the media was resolved over a decade ago in the case of Air Marshal Robert McLean. When his case came to the Supreme Court in 2013, I organized for Senator Grassley a bicameral, bipartisan amicus brief arguing TSA's regulations couldn't trump the statutory guarantees of the Whistleblower Protection Act. A Supreme Court majority agreed with us. But TSA still sought to investigate our clients' disclosures as though they were unlawful leaks. That kind of retaliation chills whistleblowers across the government. TSA backed down when Empower exposed their investigation, but those kinds of risks remain. Protecting whistleblowers isn't optional. They are the first line of defense against waste, fraud, abuse, and overreach. If they are silenced, American people lose one of the only tools that can help bring abuses of power into the light. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify, and I look forward to your questions.
Our next witness is Matt Taibbi. Mr. Taibbi is an award-winning investigative reporter and editor for Racket News.
All right, I'm going to step in on this because Matt Taibbi hasn't done any type of bombshell reporting on this. He has been regurgitating what the work of me and Wendy Mahoney have been doing, and I truly believe that he shouldn't be there today because he has not played a key role in exposing any of this. In fact, the person sitting behind him, Sonia Labosco and David Londo, have really been the key players in all of this and exposing it. So again, I don't know why Matt's there. I'm also going to play a clip in a few moments of Matt saying that he knew nothing about the terror watch list. And that was just less than a year ago when he came out about that. So we're up against a hard commercial break. Wendy Mahoney's going to stay with us. We're going to keep dipping in and out. Also, we're going to go over a couple of exclusive information regarding all of this. So do not go anywhere. We will be right back.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it. Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Over here, so we're excited that you are all with us. There's a lot of live events going on all around the country that we are keeping our eye on, but we are not letting up on that TSA terror watch list because the odds of, you know, you guys at home being added to that list are probably significantly high. We're learning more about how the Biden regime used that list to target conservative Americans and those political opponents that they have. We learn that there's at least three Republican congressional members who were added to that list, and former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard was also added to that list. Now, we reported that exclusively last year, so that was when the ball started rolling. I reached out to several members of Congress for a very long time trying to get them to go out there and to help. Because, again, hundreds of J6ers were added to this list. They were being surveilled, followed throughout the airports, followed on planes. They were flying with federal air marshals nearby. Although they were plainclothes federal air marshals, they were still supervising and watching J6 defendants. It wasn't until we broke the story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to the list that the federal government finally got involved. Members of Congress started sending letters. And now we're learning more and more about what happened that day. But right now, we're watching as the testimony is going on. And we're learning more and more as to who was targeted in all of this. Now, sadly, there's really no direct victims of the list testifying today and speaking in front of the Senate Homeland Security Committee. It's a little bit of a head scratcher, but for the last decade, individuals like Sonia Lobosco have been fighting their very hardest to make sure that this list was shut down. And thanks to the incredible work over at DHS, this list was officially shut down thanks to Kristi Noem. Now, obviously, President Trump also having a hand in that. So that is very, very important. But again, there are people out there who are testifying today, and I find it to be quite strange that they're speaking when Sonia Lobosco and David Londo, again, two people who have been dealing with the whistleblowers and trying their very best to expose it, aren't in front of the microphone. It was quite odd. We're going to play a clip because Matt Taibbi is speaking at the event today, at the hearing today, and I thought it was very, very strange that they had him there, considering the fact that when we broke the story, when Wendy Mahoney, I guess, published this on Uncover DC, how Taibbi thought it was just a crazy story. But now here he is in front of the committee testifying today. Let's just play that clip of Taibbi talking about the list originally and how Tulsi Gabbard was added to it right now. Take a listen.
I haven't heard earlier today. A story appeared on a site called Undercover DC, if we could call that up.
I think it's Uncovered DC.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Federal Air Marshal whistleblowers report Tulsi Gabbard actively under surveillance via Quiet Skies program. And the details sounded completely crazy. The idea was that Tulsi Gabbard had been placed on the Quiet Skies program. And we'll get to what that is. It's essentially like a domestic version, a new domestic version of the old terror watch list, but it's even souped up. It involves physical surveillance of people who are placed on this list. And apparently she was placed on the list, and multiple air marshals were assigned to follow her with a bomb sniffing dog.
Two dog teams. And air marshals, supposedly undercover. I don't know how they keep that quiet. You know, if more than one dog follows me onto a plane, are they bomb sniffing dogs in carriers like poodles, or are they bomb sniffing, German shepherds, the kind we're used to out in, the wild?
Maybe they had like fake mustaches on them, on the dogs, so that you wouldn't give them a second look, make them more inconspicuous. I don't know, but it sounded crazy. I don't know how you reacted to this, Walter, but my first thought was, no, that can't be true. I mean, I have nothing against Uncover DC. I can't say that I knew a whole lot about the site, but there's a lot of stuff on the internet these days. Then some people that we do know, like Tracy Beans, reported on it, and there were some tweets about it. The story kind of gained momentum, but still, in terms of mainstream news coverage, nothing. Then later in the day, I heard from a good source that there was, in fact, a complaint that had been generated by people in the Air Marshals Union. And as we'll learn, this isn't a new thing. There have been complaints that have come from the Air Marshals before about this program multiple times.
Okay, so just footnote here. Tracy Beans actually owns Uncover DC. Matt did not know that, but I did reach out for comment on all of this because, again, if we're really trying to get to the bottom of all of this, I would expect there to be experts on the issue being brought in front of the Senate committee today and not somebody who was unfamiliar with it and thought it was a crazy story when it was initially released. So unfortunately, though, Senator Rand Paul's office did not respond to my request for comments. Now, I've been reaching out since last week to make sure that the right people were in front of the committee so we could finally get some answers to all of this. But unfortunately, Senator Rand Paul's office has not responded. I want to bring back in Wendy Mahoney. She is one of the incredible independent journalists who had no fear in exposing all of this. You know, Wendy, I'm not here for like any personal daggers at Matt. I just find it to be a little discouraging that the committee, although we're having these hearings now, and I welcome these hearings, they have somebody there who wasn't even familiar with the program and learned about it about a year ago and was making phone calls yesterday to learn more about it so that he could testify in front of the committee. But we have people like Sonia Lobosco who've been fighting for over a decade, and they're not in front of the mic. So what is your thoughts on all of this? Because I have a lack of hope that we'll actually see anything from it when we're not really giving people a platform who've been fighting for this for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really good practice what they're doing there. I mean, to be honest with you, a journalist shouldn't, any journalist, not even me, should be on that panel as a witness, because we have plenty of witnesses, plenty of people who are involved in it directly, plenty of sources. And Sonia and Dave have been working on this a long, long time. I mean, how I first learned, so I reported on this, I think, in like late summer, fall of 2023, so September, October, somewhere in that range. The Tulsi Gabbard story came out in 2024. But when one of my J6ers brought this up to me, I started to do research on it. And so through finding that, I found this article by the Boston Globe. I forget the name of the reporter. I apologize for that. But Sonia Labosco had been working with that reporter. This was in 2018, before I knew anything about this. So the point of this is that Sonia Labosco has been trying to expose this stuff because she's advocating there for these air marshals who should be in law enforcement. They should be in HSI. They shouldn't be under a bureaucratic arm of our government called the TSA. Air marshals know that half the people that they're following around, they should not be wasting their time. I mean, one of the people in that panel, I think it was either Rand Paul or maybe it was Tristan, said something about the fact that we're wasting all this money and resources, it was Christine's husband. Mm-hmm. We're wasting all this money and resources on our air marshals following normal everyday Americans. And by the way, why aren't those normal everyday Americans sitting there testifying, like AJ Fisher, for example, with his infant son?
Yeah. And that's the problem here. And that was the point that I wanted to make clear to, you know, Senator Rand Paul's office. Sonia Labosco, they know of her. She's sitting there today. They've worked with her on other things as well. She's got all the whistleblowers, and a lot of these people too, the victims of all of this, would have been very happy to speak out and up on this issue. So again, my main point in all of this is although I love the fact that we're doing this now, I lack any type of hope in regards to there being a substantial resolution to all of this, because I don't think that's going to happen at this point, because they're missing all the key players. They're missing all the key people that we need to expose in all of this, the key people who have firsthand experience. And that seems to be lacking. But I guess I wanted to dip back into the hearing, because it looks like Jim Harper is speaking right now, and I'm sure he's got a lot to share with us. So let's take a listen.
The only limit is who's in power. If you won't end the watch list, then at least cage it with real notice, evidence, hearings, and strict limits, so no American's faith or viewpoint becomes a reason to be treated like a suspect. Placement on the watch list has a direct and dire impact that reaches beyond the airport. These harms underscore why there must be reform to allow for the redress removal from the list. The tracking of screenings and assurances of appropriate oversight, because the human and policy costs are real. The task is larger than ending one program. We got to take immediate steps to implement due process measures to afford those on the list an opportunity to be removed. Many experts and opinions, many of them here today, have provided a clear roadmap to fixing these immediate issues, such as requiring TSA and CBP to systemically track all screenings and outcomes so we can see where the system fails and who's being hit the hardest. Second, direct the National Terrorist Screening Center to report regularly to Congress on nominations, removals, error dates, the recall of bad data, and with safeguards to protect privacy while exposing a pattern of bias. Third, pair transparency with teeth. Have mandatory timelines, independent review that can order a delisting. The most urgent fix is transparency and due process. If the government is going to restrict your liberties, you have the right to know why. DHS's redress inquiry program, TRIP, provides little information to travelers about why they are flagged or whether corrections are applied across the system. Without systemic tracking, bias can go unchecked and travelers have no meaningful way to collect errors. Today, individuals on the watch list often receive no notice, no explanation, and no meaningful way off the list. There is room for bipartisanship on this issue, and I'm confident of that. I'll meet anyone halfway on this. Left, right, it doesn't matter. Because the watch list isn't about who you voted for. It's about whether the government has to prove its case when it takes away your rights and limits your life. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, eliminating quiet skies was necessary, but it's not sufficient. We need to restore transparency, accountability, and due process to protect millions of travelers and Americans. We stand by and ready to assist in that effort. Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony. We're going to start a round of questions, and we will start with Senator Ernst.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for calling today's hearing. For years, I've been highlighting examples of government mismanagement and waste with my monthly Squeal Awards. And the TSA's Quiet Skies program, unfortunately, was a prime candidate for such an award. $200 million a year was spent on a program that was weaponized by the Biden administration to target political opponents, including patriotic veterans like former Congresswoman, now Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. The program covered over 180,000 flights since 2018 and did not stop a single terrorist attack, as many of you noted. I thank Secretary Noem for ending this wasteful boondoggle of a program and ensuring that TSA and DHS resources are used effectively to focus on keeping air travel safe rather than spying on and harassing law-abiding citizens. So, Mr. Crowder, I will start with you. I am so sorry to hear about the political targeting by the Biden administration against your family, and I thank you for your service to our fantastic country. Your testimony highlighting TSA and federal air marshal resources being diverted to track and harass the families of those sworn to protect Americans and make air travel safer shows what was wrong with the awful Quiet Skies program. But this program is not the only boondoggle that has existed under TSA and DHS in recent years. Since 2017, the DHS Inspector General has highlighted unresolved recommendations about how Federal Air Marshal Service contributions to aviation security are questionable. So questionable, in fact, that as much as $394 million is being perpetually misused. Mr. Crowder, can you share any suggestions for TSA and DHS safety changes you and your colleagues might have?
You say we haven't shown to stop anything. Back in the 80s, there were air marshals. There was a significant number of them trying to stop hijackings. That number dwindled down to approximately 33 before 9/11. Had the agency stayed the course, maybe that would have been prevented. It's not how many air marshals and how many flights were on, but the terrorists not knowing which flight we're on. So I don't want to downplay our role in security of the nation. But as I testified, a lot of things were abused with Quiet Skies, January 6th. Things of that nature need to be addressed. Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm.
It does. So what you're saying basically is follow the guidelines as the federal government had laid out for air marshals and not get into the business of intelligence, following, surveilling those passengers that might be targeted by the federal government. Can that be a takeaway?
Yes, the abuse for political reasons need to be stopped.
Okay.
It needs to be intel driven.
Very good. Thank you. And Mr. Leavitt, where are the TSA and DHS employees who were working on the Quiet Skies program now? Have they moved into other programs? Does the agency still employ them?
Well, Quiet Skies is just one of several programs that fed into creating what is called special mission coverage. And so, mm-hmm. you know, there are still air marshals being deployed around the country, of course. It's just one of their several missions at TSA headquarters. They still have other reasons, other criteria for which they are putting people on lists and other things. So, no, we don't have any reason to believe that any staff have been laid off or anything because the Quiet Skies program was finished. They just diverted another work, and we hope that it's work that actually protects the American homeland.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I want to thank all of our witnesses for being here today and sharing those personal stories. I think it's very important. And I want to just take in the remaining time I have left to
once again
thank Secretary
Noem. Noem just moments ago, like I said, has released an update on this Quiet Skies list before this hearing started. So Tristan likely was unaware of it. But again, she's announcing that she actually has made some key changes, saying that she's removed a total of 5 senior leaders from their positions who betrayed the trust of the American people. This includes an executive assistant administrator for operations support and the deputy assistant administrator for intelligence and analysts. Again, folks, so there are some changes that have just been made prior to the hearing beginning. But I want to bring Wendy Mahoney in for one more question on this front, Wendy. We're seeing these changes being made by DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, but what's the ideal outcome of all of this right now? Because again, it's a new administration. We're learning more and more, but I mean, how do we resolve this and move on? Because Crowder, when he was asked about it too, I didn't hear a concrete solution to this, and obviously his family being the victims, but also he's a part of the federal air marshal, so he would know better than anyone. So your reaction to that?
Well, I would imagine that if you're put on such a list and you've never done anything wrong, or even if you have, you should be at least notified that you're on the list and that it's being investigated, so that you'd have some input about whether you stay on that list. Because keep in mind, this is a secret list. There's no way to complain about it or get yourself taken off of it. And honestly, I'm not really totally buying it that this list or that something like it has completely gone away. I mean, the federal government has a way of shifting, you know, from one, you know, quiet skies to naming it something else, and you're still on those lists. And, you know, forgive me for being cynical, but I mean, even before this, even before that, TSA employed all these behavioral detection officers. There's 2,800 of them following people around, trying to guess what kind of behavior would make them be a suspected domestic terrorist. So this kind of thing has been going on a very, very long time, way before Quiet Skies was put into place.
Yeah, Wendy, I mean, we continue to sit here and hope that these changes are made. I'm going to continue to follow this throughout the day. There's tons of breaking news coming in, though. So we're going to have our eyes on this and so much more. But Wendy Mahoney, you did an incredible job at being one of the first to jump in on this and to call it out. So we are grateful for all that you've done on this front. And we look forward to hearing about the solutions and continuing to following the story. Because again, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. So we will continue to follow it, and we appreciate all that you've done. So thank you, Wendy.
Thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, I want to remind our audience that we're trying our very best to beat out the mainstream media to these stories. We are also exposing the corruption, but we cannot do it without your help, of course. But we offer a line of incredible products here at InfoWars, and it's through the alexjonesstore.com. And through all of this, we're looking to pass on some savings to you. So for a limited time only, when you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, we've got the ultimate creatine powder on sale. It's buy one, get one free. This BOGO sale isn't going to last forever, and now is the time to head on over there and make sure you grab your creatine, because folks, it's good for your muscles. It's good for your brain health as well. But most importantly, if you're someone like myself who works out, this will help your muscle growth. This will help you become more lean, but you also don't get that soreness. I mean, I started taking creatine, I'd say it's been about 2 months now, and I noticed that after a workout, I'm not as sore as I normally am. And so this is really important for you all to snag right now. You know, the military's, I guess you say the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is out here saying that he's trying to make America healthy again by making sure our troops are lean. And that includes you guys, because we're all in on this fight. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Snag yourself some ultimate creatine powder, because folks, it's not going to last forever. This is a limited time BOGO sale, and it's going on right now. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and get yourself some of this today. It helps us out significantly. You're supporting us while supporting your own personal health, and we greatly appreciate that. All right, I wanted to head over to an update, because we told you at the beginning of the show that we're following several live events. We're waiting for President Trump to make his way back to the White House, because when he gets there, he's expected to make an announcement. Now, he's not there quite yet. But according to Nick Sorter, who you guys know on this program has a Sunday morning show here on InfoWars, Nick just broke a report saying that President Trump is set to announce the launch of Trump RX. Now, if you're wondering what that is, according to Nick Sorter, that is going to be a new website to allow Americans to buy discounted drugs for cash. Now, President Trump is hoping to cut out the middleman and lower the price of drugs in this country. A deal with Pfizer is expected to be announced as well, according to all of this. And they're hoping to lower these prices. So when President Trump starts to speak, we look forward to bringing you that. But I think it's really important that we tackle this issue because Democrats run on the false hopes that they are going to lower the drug costs, but they don't actually do it. They instead canceled Trump programs as they did in the first term when they, as soon as they took over, they canceled all of his executive orders. And then they pretend like they were the ones to drive down the costs. But we all know it wasn't them. We all know it was President Donald Trump. And I'm looking forward to hearing about that Pfizer angle because that's something we're going to want to listen in on. All right. So I want to jump back into some of the headlines that are happening all across the country and how evil Democrats are because we continue to cover it because it's important. You have to know how the younger population, obviously, throughout this country is being brainwashed. And they're being brainwashed because these far left wing politicians are out there and they're demonizing us on the right. I mean, that's just the reality behind it, folks. They have no problem going out there, even after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, demonizing his memory. They don't want Americans to know that he was a man of faith, a very loyal man who raised his family and his children. And instead, we're going to play this for you because it's a big one in clip seven, but Ilhan Omar, she's not done going out there and continuing to bash Charlie Kirk's memory. She's only warming up. So let's take a listen.
I have nothing to apologize for. You know, it is a tragedy that Charlie Kirk was killed in that way. I feel for his widow and his children. They will have to live with that for the rest of their lives. But there is no legacy to honor. It was a legacy filled with bigotry, hatred, and white supremacy. Yeah. And as a black woman and as a Muslim in this country, I refuse to join the chorus that changes the history of what is on the record from this man. And so, you know, Nancy Mace, the president, like whatever, these crazy people can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But I am not going to be bullied into complacency, into, you know, dishonoring who I am and what I stand for just to, you know, make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, dishonoring, probably dishonoring herself when she decided to marry her brother, make him his husband to get into this country. And then when she got married again, after getting divorced from her brother, she got a divorce again from her second husband, and then somehow ended up in the hands of a man who was already married. And he left his wife, and now they're married too now. So she continues to go out there and criticize others, but when you look at her both personal choices in her love life and her wardrobe, well, there is obviously a lot to criticize there. But that's Ilhan Omar, folks. We have imported the third world trash, and we have allowed them into our country, and that's what you have there. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more underway, a lot more going on in the third hour of the program, so stay put.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
How you get so much favor on your side? Accept the measure, Lord and Savior.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morrell. We're excited that you are all here with us today. A lot going on. We're waiting for President Trump to begin speaking because, according to next order, he is going to be talking about lowering drug costs by launching Trump RX. Obviously, that's got our ears perking up, so we're looking forward to carrying that when that begins. But the president has a very busy day. Announcing new standards for armed service members, obviously, with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth standing right by. And there's also that Senate hearing that's going on right now, which exposes the Biden regime's abuse of powers and how they put hundreds of Americans, conservative Americans, on a terror watch list, something we've been reporting on InfoWars for quite some time now. Well, it's all starting to get called out, and it's thanks to this new administration. So we're looking forward to talking about that in just a few moments. But obviously, we're digging into a lot. We're getting a lot as it continues to flow in. We broke news earlier today as well. If you recall, that ICE facility in Dallas, that fatal shooting. Well, unfortunately, now one more has been killed. One more has died, I should say. So that makes two detainees who have sadly passed away. As many of you guys know, a radical left-wing terrorist opened fire on a van, shooting three of those detainees. ICE agents did try their very best to save everyone in the van. But unfortunately, three were shot, the second individual dying today. We're waiting to learn more about these individuals to hear about how this happened and what the response is. Again, that individual has been removed from life support. And, you know, the media has just completely turned an eye to this story because, again, it's not something they want to continue to talk about. This is their left-wing terrorist. This is the person that they brought forward and that they promoted to do just this. And although the family is saying, oh, he's not really into politics, this is so strange, obviously someone doesn't overnight become a very aggressive, passionate person who despises ICE and looks to become a serial killer. So, again, we're going to keep digging into that one because that's just one of the many left-wing terrorists who have completely committed heinous acts and then, like a coward, took his own life in the end. So we look forward to bringing you the updates on that story as it continues to develop. But again, we're watching a lot of things that are going on all around the country right now. Obviously, we're going to dip in and out of that hearing. But most importantly, and I want to highlight this because I think it's really important that we continue to talk about not only what's going on here, but what's going on all around the country. And, you know, when we kick off the third hour officially in just a few moments, I want to play you guys a clip about how the UK, we talk about all the time how they're crunching down on free speech, but they have somehow shifted gears completely. And they are not only going after people for free speech, but they are kind of encouraging through the mainstream media, incest. Now, I know that sounds insane, and you're probably at home saying, Brianna, how do you make this connection? But they're trying to kind of appease their new demographic that has invaded their country by trying to normalize incest and pretend like there's some economic advantages towards marrying and having children with your first cousins. Now, again, that sounds crazy, and we'll dive into that in the third hour. But again, this is what's going on right now in the UK. And whatever happens in the UK and Europe usually makes its way into the United States a couple of years later. So I always keep my eye on the UK and what's going on there, because if President Trump wasn't elected, we would probably have these same free speech violations as you see that are happening throughout the United Kingdom. We're watching as individuals or just Brits are just sitting in their homes getting knocked at the door by police, and they're looking to arrest them for a Twitter post or a Facebook post. And it's not surprising. Again, we've called it out several times, even Tommy Robinson being an outspoken opponent of all of this. But again, it's important you watch it because this is what they want to do here in the United States. This isn't just stopping in the UK. This isn't just stopping in Europe. This is the globalist agenda, and this is what they want to do. They want to rip down your front door because you posted something really mean on social media. Don't you dare call a politician fat either. They'll come after you. They'll start kicking in all your doors, folks. This is the world the globalists want us to live in, but we're not going there. here in the United States, the Constitution stands in the way, and they're not happy about that. So we'll dive into that in the third hour. So do not go anywhere. We've got plenty of more to unpack on the American Journal. In the third hour, Roger Stone joining us as well in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at fan.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us in the third hour of today's program. And we're following all of these live events that are going on all across the country. We're expecting to hear from President Donald J. Trump in just a few moments. According to reporter Nick Sorter, there is going to be an announcement regarding lowering the prices of drugs in this country. President Trump is expected to announce the launch of Trump RX. That's according to Nick. So we are waiting for that to begin. It's actually supposed to start at any moment now. So we will bring it to you when he does start to speak. Now, there's also another event going on right now that we got our eyes on, and it is at Senate Homeland Security meeting that's going on right now in regards to how the Biden regime decided to go out there and target conservative Americans, even DNI Tulsi Gabbard, adding her to a terror watch list. Now being called out, we just gave you an update that Kristi Noem has got rid of some people who were a part of all of this. We're a total, I guess, we're a total of five employees. So we're following this as this continues to develop. But let's take things overseas for a bit, because I think we should highlight what's going on in the UK. I say it all the time. You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Brianna, keep your eyes on just this country. We don't need to talk about other countries. No, you do, because what happens in Europe, what happens in the UK is what the globalists want to do to the United States. So you have to pay attention to what's going on there. And free speech isn't a thing in the UK. In fact, they don't like it at all. And if you decide to put out a mean tweet, maybe call a politician fat, well, they're going to rip off your front door because bullying is illegal, apparently. By bullying, I mean any type of criticism towards your government. In fact, if you live in the UK and you decide to attack those who are leading the invasion of Pakistani men into your country, well, folks, it's not going to go well for you. There's several Brits who are currently sitting in prison because they posted something mean on Facebook or X. And so we have another individual who apparently received a visit from police when he decided to tweet an anti-Hamas meme. Now, in case you have any doubts as to how that interaction even went in the first place, because you probably don't think it's real, let's take a listen.
Basically, Section 19 refers to spreading what we say like racial hatred. So you've posted something online that we believe is spreading racial hatred.
Twitter, Facebook,
what? Can't explain too much. It's just to give you the context beforehand.
It'll be put to you in an interview.
Because I appreciate you've never been arrested before, have you?
Yeah, once or twice.
Once or twice. Apologies.
Frequent flyer.
Apologies, I didn't think you were. Basically, how it works now is then, obviously, if you've got stuff you'd like to gather, obviously, I'm more than willing to talk through what you're able to take with you.
What, you're taking me away now?
Yes, yeah. So you're under arrest, so you're going to Harrogate, unfortunately.
You're taking me to Harrogate in the middle of the night over a tweet?
I am, unfortunately.
Is this what you signed up the police to, do?
This is my role. I'm trying to be reasonable with you here. So if there's stuff you'd like to gather, I'm more than willing to allow you to gather some sort of stuff, like medication, if you've got any numbers you need.
You do understand that I'm going to make the maximum fuss about this free speech union.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys are just doing your jobs, obviously, but your head bosses have just opened up a world of
If I didn't have to be here, I wouldn't have been, but I'm happy to give you...
I'm quite certain you two have got, like, 50 better things to do.
They definitely do have better things to do. Probably going after the monsters who are molesting and raping their girls and boys in their country. They don't want to address that. No, no, no. They'd rather ignore those victims who have come forward, tried reporting the sexual abuse they've had to endure in their country because, well, their politicians have allowed the third world to invade. And the people who have invaded hate their people. They hate the Western beliefs. They want to completely destroy us. But the UK, obviously, not putting up much of a fight. Instead, they've allowed these people to infiltrate their country, and now they're using their law enforcement officers to go after anyone who decides to speak up on this issue. How dare you tweet out anything about terrorists, Islamic terrorists, who are trying to annihilate those in Israel and other countries as well? Yeah, okay, they obviously want us dead as well, but folks, you can't tweet out criticism. You can't post anything on Facebook about it. That's the rules in the UK right now. And if you're wondering, well, why are they doing all of this? It's important to understand the demographics. The UK has imported individuals from Pakistan, and Pakistan has a massive problem on their hands. And the mainstream media is trying its very best to not only ignore the sexual abuse claims that have come forward from thousands of victims over the last decade, but they're also trying to soften the blow. There was recently a tweet that went up, and it had my ears a little perked up because ultimately it comes from the Telegram, and it's an article that says that the UK, well, this is what I believe it's saying, the UK is normalizing incest to feed into the Pakistanis that have flooded into their country. Now, they're saying that the NHS says first cousin marriages is linked to stronger extended support systems, family support systems, and economic advantages. Folks, I don't even understand how we're making this debate angled at the fact that, and this is the first sentence, the NHS has been urged to apologize for publishing guidance that discourages first cousin marriages despite the increased risk of birth rate defects. Now, folks, they are trying to, again, normalize all of this, and it's just deeply concerning, but it's not surprising. So right now, let's just talk about briefly. Let me give you some overview. When it comes to Pakistanis, about 61% of their marriages overall are involving close relatives. That's the latest statistic on all of this. So what's happening right now is a lot of them have fled Pakistan and have moved to the UK, which would be fine if it wasn't a hostile takeover right now where natives are actually losing rights and these Pakistani men are going around their cities and they are raping their girls. And there's no other way to put this. We're constantly being reminded of the women who are being victimized, the girls who are being victimized, not all of them of age, by these men. And obviously it's not just Pakistanis who are doing this. There are other foreigners who have now invaded the UK and are now doing this. And sadly, it's not garnishing the attention that it rightfully deserves. And for far too long, local politicians in the area have been so cowardly and have ignored these victims. Instead, they've shifted their attention towards other things. They don't want you talking about it. They'd rather you look the other way on these issues because these issues would stop the invasion. They would stop the globalist agenda. No, no, no. You can't sit there and call out the rapists directly. In fact, there are politicians now in the UK who are telling you it's not the Pakistanis that are the problem. No, no, no. It is actually the natives. So these girls, these women, they're actually, and this is according to them, they're actually being sexually abused by the native men, not the people that they've taken in. Now, again, if you look at all the statistics and you outline the invaders and how they've rapidly came into the UK, in the sexual assault cases of the UK, you notice that there is a trend, and it's not just in the UK. It's happening across Europe. Since they've opened up their country, they've allowed these individuals in. There's been a common theme here, and that is when you've allowed people from third world countries to invade your country, sexual assault cases skyrocket. Now, again, obviously sexual abuse happens in countries all the time, but why would you intentionally put your most vulnerable population at risk? Little girls. Little girls. Now, again, UK officials have completely ignored this. In fact, they've turned away children as they come forward due to the fact that a lot of the police are completely corrupted. As you see, they're just following orders. And you put out something mean, so we're going to go after you because we don't like the fact that you're spewing the truth. You know, it was just a few months ago in the UK where young girls dancing at a Taylor Swift dance party were enjoying the music when a madman came in and stabbed, I believe it was 3 or 4 of them fatally. And when people spoke out about this issue and decided to protest this issue, armed men who have now invaded their country were seen carrying knives and trying to go after those natives who decided to go out there and protest because they were upset. Now, obviously, the suspect in this case is somebody who was born there, but his family was not, and he was brought in. So again, this highlights this big crisis. People in the UK have had enough, and if you speak out, if you try to fight back, they will throw you in prison. I mean, there are people who are spending years in prison. I mean, we've spoken to Tommy Robinson, who has been obviously a very outspoken person on the subject matter, even releasing documents and releasing evidence to prove that these individuals in their own government have completely neglected to discuss or even to help out sexual assault victims. So again, do you continue to allow your country to be invaded? Do you continue to allow incest to be normalized because you don't want to offend those who have moved in? That's a serious question that those in the UK must ask themselves. And sadly, they do not have free speech there because if they dare to speak out on these issues, they will be arrested. But is it worth it? Are you ready to fight for your country or are you ready to sit back and just allow individuals to invade your country and to sexually abuse your children and women? Now, again, here in the United States, we really have to be asking ourselves these serious questions because it's happening here. Under the Biden administration, we've seen thousands and millions of individuals from third world countries be brought in. And the Trump administration is trying their very best to deport them. But the reality of it is there's going to be many that are missed. We just learned earlier this morning that the Trump administration is deporting hundreds of Iranians who illegally came into this country, probably people who are terrorists, although DHS hasn't confirmed that as of yet. But we know that there's over 400 of them that are going to begin being deported. And ultimately here, folks, the reason why this is all just infuriating is because these people should have never been brought into our country in the first place. But you see, there is an agenda here that they are trying their very best to push. And it doesn't matter if it puts your life at risk. In fact, they really don't care. If you were to be targeted, they just don't care. And again, I say this all the time. I understand that women are the problem here, right? Because women continuously vote for these policies because they don't understand the reality behind all of this here in the United States yet. They don't realize that they are the true victims of mass migration. So how do we fix the issue? Well, we fix the issue by educating people. We fix the issue by covering stories like those in the UK. If you truly value your own personal safety in this country, you don't allow this to happen. You don't vote for these policies. And there needs to be people coming forward to outline this because I don't think women are well educated on the subject matter, unfortunately, until it happens to them. Now, there's a growing trend, especially here in Texas, because we have accepted, and I say accepted, but it's sad, but sadly our Republicans have done very little to push back on the issue. But we've accepted these individuals from third world countries into our state, and there's a growing number of women coming forward and saying that they're being harassed, they're being followed. I just saw a Facebook post someone sent me a couple of days ago of in the Dallas area, a woman being followed into her apartment complex, and she filmed it. I obtained the footage of a man following me. He's Egyptian. I don't know if he's a legal U.S. citizen or not. I've tried to figure that information out, but he followed me, and he wasn't going to back down anytime soon. Because he said he thought I was attractive, and even though I told him to leave, he said he wasn't going to. That he wanted to keep having a conversation. It wasn't until he thought he saw a firearm did he flee. But again, this is a growing trend, not only in the UK, but it has come here because of border policies that have allowed these people to flood into our country. Again, there's very little known about all of this. sadly, and I'm speaking to women, they have not yet accepted the fact that we have put ourselves at risk by voting for these toxic policies, which have brought in the third world trash, people who hate us, people who don't believe in our ideology, people who see Native women, American women, as objects, sexual objects. That's what's going on throughout our country now. So it's very unfortunate that this is what's happening, but it's only going to get worse if we continue to fear being called very mean names because we fear calling it out. I don't fear calling it out. I don't fear getting the messages I get. I don't fear the death threats. You shouldn't fear them either. Because folks, this will get significantly worse if you don't step in now and say something. And it's why we fight so hard against the hate speech narrative. You know, when the government tells you, regardless of what administration it is, that they're going to go out there and target those who are spewing hate speech, you need to reject it. Because the interpretation of what hate speech is just depends on who's running the show. And so although you think you're safe under the current administration when it comes to that, I don't. I know you probably don't either. But if you think that you are in a safe position right now, I'm here to tell you you're not. You see, hate speech was whatever the Biden administration wanted to call it. And that's what landed so many J6ers in prison. It wasn't because they actually did anything. It was because they took messages out of context and they used it against them. And a lot of it they did flag as hate speech. So folks, there's no such thing as hate speech. I think that's really important to drive home that argument. I wanted to dip into the hearing that's going on right now still in the Senate because I think there's a lot going on. It looked like there was a little bit of emotional interaction earlier. So let's take a quick listen as to what's going on right now regarding the TSA terror watch list.
That it's ironic that Democrats that chase cameras saying that President Trump is a threat to our democracy are not even here. I think the record should show, Mr. Chairman, who attended this hearing and who did not attend the hearing. Because you can't go out there and go on camera and say that President Trump, the person who ended the Quiet Skies program, the person who's reforming what's happened under the Biden era, there's nobody being threatened to be fired for not taking a vaccine. In fact, restoring individual liberty, and yet don't even bother to show up to a hearing, which I think this hearing, and I said this to you yesterday, Mr. Chairman, is the most outrageous thing I've ever seen in Washington, D.C., and yet they can't even bother. And I think it's one of those things where you decide what's important. Like when you're a United States senator, you can decide what's important. I can be in this hearing. I can be in another hearing. I can be at a fundraiser. I can be golfing. I can do whatever the heck I want. That's kind of the crazy part about being a senator. You don't actually have to show up to win, but you do. And the fact that the Democrats basically virtually boycotted this hearing gives them zero credibility when they say that this president is moving this country authoritarian. Do you want to comment on that, Mr. Harper? Am I wrong?
Well, your question on the perspective your question gave, if this were happening in another country, what would we say about it? Very powerful, because Keir Starmer in the UK is saying everyone is going to have a digital ID, national ID program. In the United States, we oppose that. And the Real ID Act of 2005 continually fails to be implemented, and hoorah for us, because it shouldn't be. It should be repealed. Financial surveillance is a product of United States law that we export around the world. And if you took off the label Bank Secrecy Act and put a Chinese label on it, you'd say, aha, that's China. It's what we do, and it's what the U.S. has in the Bank Secrecy Act, again, that we export through the Financial Action Task Force. There are so many issues that we could get to, but that insight, we shouldn't be doing it here. We should be leading in the United States on civil rights and civil liberties. So all of the things we've talked about, the transparency, anti-secrecy, no to a national ID, the perspective of your question was really important and helpful, I think. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, just one request from my perspective. There's been almost no accountability to what the government did to the American people during COVID, like almost no accountability. People who closed schools, who made kids, little kids, get vaccinated, masks. Can you imagine what that impact's going to be? You have kids. What that is, what the impact's going to be long term on 2, 3, 4, 5-year-olds that were forced to be masked for 5, 6, 7 hours a day. No accountability. Look, the most accountability was that the American people fired Joe Biden, thank God, and prevented Kamala Harris, which would have been even worse. But we do have the ability to go into the current administration
and say who within Homeland Security still has a job that perpetuated these policies. Because in my mindset is anybody, especially the person who wrote that memo that literally made my hair stand up, how is that person still employed by the United States government? And I think we need to ask that question while we have an administration actually wants to protect civil liberties, that actually wants to protect the American people. And we cannot just ignore this. And again, there's a lot of things that have happened that I've seen in my 8 months here in D.C., but this report was so outrageous. And the fact that my Democrat colleagues have no interest in listening to this says it all. So thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for holding this very important hearing. And thank you for all the witnesses for being here. And again, Mrs. Crowder, truly apologize for what you went through. It's completely insane, not just to you, but anybody who had something like that happen to you.
And part of oversight is not vendetta or revenge. It's removing people who abuse the civil liberties of Americans. And so far, the court has been consistent in upholding the president's right to hire and fire people in the executive branch. So I agree with you completely, because we need to make sure that these programs don't come back again. The issue of anonymous accusation reminds me of a scene that I saw in Venice. There's a lion's mouth, Bocca del Leone, and the Doge was like the king of Venice, and you could anonymously just put it in there, but you could lose your head or be imprisoned for life by an anonymous tip. One of the evolutions beyond that is sort of the idea of due process, that you can't just be secretly accused of things. And I think there is a real danger to that. And I think that's what happened in this case. And if this is somebody who works still as an air marshal, that person doesn't need to work as an air marshal. If it was a colleague or somebody that tried to get your wife in trouble, somebody did it. I have a feeling that it's malicious, actually. And I don't have information on that, but we want to get to the bottom of that. And the people who created and ran all these programs, of course we do. And I think your point is well taken on human rights. We have all kinds of strings that are supposed to be attached to human rights. If you're not a democratically elected government, I've tried using that one before because there are many coups that occur around the world. We keep sending them. I mean, Egypt still lives under a military rule after a coup. Technically, they're not supposed to. There was something called the Leahy Amendments. They're not supposed to get foreign aid now, but we do it anyway. We just exempt them from the Leahy Amendments. But things that we would enforce on other countries, we certainly should enforce on others. There are big categories of people, Arab Americans, Muslim Americans, who have been abused by this stuff. But it really isn't always just either the color of your skin or the color. It could be the shade of your ideology. You could be a homeschooler or a Donald Trump supporter. You could be all kinds of things that may be outside some sort of mainstream. And to target those people is anathema to what our country stands for. I appreciate everything all of you have done in this. I appreciate your testimony today. And the records. I would like to enter into the record a set of redacted documents produced to the committee as part of this investigation. I would also like to enter the statements for the record from the Air Marshal National Council and other stakeholders. Without objection, these records will be entered into the record.
Senator Hawley's on his way, so do you have any more questions?
All right, I want to step in on that because the Air Marshal National Council is Sonia Labosco and David Londo. That's their organization that they represent all these whistleblowers through. So those documents are being brought forward. I know Sonia has made a list of recommendations as to what these agencies need to do moving forward to fix all of this. So we look forward to speaking to Sonia eventually, whether it's today or tomorrow. We will make sure we get to that because she's got a lot to say. She's there right now in that room. And she's been a major, major factor in all of this. Folks, I wanted to remind you all today that we have an incredible sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Creatine Powder is on sale. It's the BOGO sale. And it's going on for a limited time. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. When you buy one bottle, you get one free. It's for a limited time only. You're someone who needs to maybe get some extra muscles. We like that. You got to head on over right now and do it, because I'm telling you, folks, I take creatine after my workouts, and this one will help you with muscle soreness. It will also help you get better into better shape. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Buy it up now before this sale ends. We've got Roger Stone coming on the program in just a moment.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like to say, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like, getting sick of Alec plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I feel I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at?
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you.
Me having it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so
and thank
much.
You for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you guys are all here in the third hour of the program. It's been a very, very busy morning for us. Tons of live events going on right now. We're still waiting to see President Donald Trump speak. According to Nick Sorter, he's talking about lowering drug prices and launching Trump RX. So we'll keep our eye on that because that's something that we could all celebrate, lowering drug costs. So, folks, we're paying attention to that. We're also paying attention to the Senate hearing going on right now in regards to the TSA terror watch list. Obviously, the Biden regime was illegally and unconstitutionally surveilling Americans by adding them to this list just because they had something mean to say about the administration. So we're keeping an eye on that. But most importantly, there was a story that dropped yesterday that I don't think received enough attention. And the story is about an FBI whistleblower coming forward and reporting James Comey for leading an, quote, off-the-books investigation into the 2016 Trump campaign. Now, ultimately, what this individual is outlining is that there was a honeypot that was used, two agents, FBI agents, who were used to get their way into the campaign, and they wanted to keep it all off the books. Now, this was separate from the Crossfire Hurricane investigation slash hit piece, so it's not really surprising that this was even worse than what we all imagined. It was significantly worse than we all imagined. Now, this whistleblower came forward last year, and they've come forward to the House Judiciary Committee, so we're expected to learn more about this. But I must remind you, James Comey was indicted last week, and still, we don't have any arrests. Now, that's not the playbook that the Biden regime laid out. In fact, if you're indicted on these types of charges, normally you'd get a couple of dozen FBI agents at your home, armed, of course, and they'd raid your house. But so far, we haven't seen that. Joining me to react to this is Roger Stone. He is obviously a legend in himself, political icon, and someone we greatly look forward to hearing from on this subject matter because he was one of the many victims of the weaponized federal government. And he's with us now. Roger, I want to thank you for being here. I'm a little discouraged because I haven't yet seen my James Comey mugshot, and I was expecting to see that last week. Your reaction to the fact that the FBI director still hasn't been arrested?
Yeah. Could we have any more stark example of the two-tiered justice system? I mean, the truth is both James Comey and I are indicted on the exact same charges, lying to Congress under oath and obstruction of an official investigation. The difference, of course, is that he's guilty. And in my case, no statement that I made to the House Intelligence Committee in my voluntary testimony was material. Meaning there was no Russian collusion to hide. There was no WikiLeaks collaboration to cover up. So I never had any real motive to lie. It was a cleverly constructed indictment that was really designed just to pressure me into testifying falsely against President Donald Trump. In other words, the Russian collusion hoax went through $32 million and with unlimited legal authority, unlimited manpower, unlimited funding, could find no Russian collusion because, well, none existed. In this case, James Comey, rather than having his home stormed at 6 o'clock in the morning with 29 SWAT-clad FBI agents wearing night goggles and brandishing fully automatic M4 assault weapons, he's allowed to turn himself up in, and he has until October 9th to do so. Quite a difference. So why we had to be terrorized, why my wife had to be frog marched out in the front yard for all of the CNN cameras, it is a pretty outrageous disparity. On the other hand, the entire mainstream media narrative right now is laughable. I'm reading from the New York Times, who says, in going after foes, Trump sets a precedent that could haunt his allies. Really? These are the people who are responsible for the greatest single dirty trick in American political history, the largest single abuse of governmental power in which the full authority of the United States government was used to try to take down a duly elected president. And now when we seek to hold those who broke the law accountable, we're accused of starting the weaponization of the criminal justice system. This is almost laughable.
It's almost laughable.
Peter Baker of the New York Times, I think he is deranged, in all honesty.
Well, that's putting it nicely, Roger, because these people have continued to go out there and to bash President Trump, his allies, his friends, and they're referring to it as a revenge tour when I refer to it as the accountability tour, like you just cited, because these people need to be held accountable. You know, they had no problem going out there, Roger, and bragging about what they have done to those who were close to the president. I wanted to play a clip for you because it wasn't so long ago where James Comey was just as bold as ever when he went out there and was bragging about how he entrapped General Michael Flynn. Let's take a listen to that clip.
FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought it's early enough. let's just send a couple guys over. And so we placed a call to Flynn, said, hey, we're sending a couple guys over. Hope you'll talk to them. He said, sure. Nobody else was there. They interviewed him in a conference room at the White House Situation Room, and he lied to them. And that's what he's now pled guilty to.
What did he think they were coming over there for?
I don't think he knew. No, we didn't tell him. Just said, we've got a couple, sending over a couple of agents. I want to ask you some questions. I didn't have this conversation. My deputy director did. But hope you got a few minutes. You can sit down and talk to them. And he said, sure.
I think that just highlights the fact that General Flynn had nothing to hide, and he didn't think anything of it. But little did he know he was going to be one of the main characters of their plot to take down President Trump. But right now, Comey's just facing, I would say, two minor charges at this point, considering the fact of what he's done. He's facing 5 years in prison, but it's mainly just making false statements to Congress. It should be significantly worse for him, given the fact of what he's already admitted to doing, partaking in, and his role in going after the president, even learning about this honeypot, these two FBI agents who, according to this whistleblower, were sent to go after and target the 2016 Trump campaign. What else should be done about this? Because it seems like this is just a slap on the wrist.
This is indeed a slap in the wrist. This is the least of his problems. And by the way, in the Eastern District of Virginia, where you are certain to get a radical leftist judge and a Democrat-dominated, if not 100% jury, just as bad as going to trial in the District of Columbia. So don't expect justice, because justice is unlikely. That's not a reason, of course, not to indict Comey. Very specifically, Andrew McCabe and this gentleman in Richmond both testified under oath that they made leaks to the New York Times at the direction of James Comey, who specifically denied that under oath. So you would think this is a pretty open and shut case. But remember, when a Biden or an Obama judge is on the bench, the law, the Constitution, the facts, the rules, none of these things actually matter. They just do whatever they want. The real question is whether Mr. Comey, along with the CIA director, John Brennan, perhaps the arch villain of this entire drama, Susan Rice, the national security advisor, James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, Rod Rosenstein, the epically corrupt acting attorney general, Robert Mueller himself, although he could get off the hook for being stricken with senile dementia, Andrew Weissman, above all, whether these people are going to be charged with seditious conspiracy and perhaps even treason. I think that there is a legitimate grounds to do that, thanks to the courage and the precision of Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence. This is no longer conjecture. We have, pardon me, the stone cold proof that these people engaged in a seditious conspiracy to topple a duly elected president. The only question is, will they be prosecuted or they won't, or won't they? We don't know the answer today.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like, from people I've spoken to, and I'm sure you've spoken to a ton of people on this front, but there's more indictments that are going to be coming. I've heard that there's a lot. I know Alex Jones has also reported there's a lot of grand juries going on right now. And so I believe we're hopeful that there's more to come from this. But this needs to work its way all the way to the top of this. This all leads to, obviously, Barack Obama. And although when it does get to that tier, I'm sure the media is going to say that he has presidential immunity. But a lot of this happened after he left the White House. So what would be the rebuttal for going after the former president, and how do we work our way up there?
Well, they certainly can't argue that a former president can't be prosecuted, can they? Because they framed Donald Trump for all kinds of crimes that he was never guilty of in both New York and Washington. Frankly, I would start with Joe Biden. You see, there is no vice presidential immunity. Joe Biden and members of his family took multi-million dollar bribes from various foreign countries during his time as vice president, probably during his time as president. He should be charged. And yes, by the way, the FBI should show up at his place in Rehoboth, and they should frog march him out into the street just like everyone else, because no one is above the law. Isn't that what the left always told us? No one is above the law. Now, this story about Comey running two attractive female agents into the Trump campaign. It's not the first time this has been reported. But the real question is, will Todd Blanche, the deputy attorney general, will Pam Bondi, our current attorney general, good friend of mine, will they take action? Will they impanel a grand jury to question all of the witnesses with knowledge of this operation? By the way, you're a little too young to remember this. Richard Nixon was taken down for the whole concept that he was spying and wiretapping the Democrat candidate in 1972. Cost him his presidency. And the liberals told us at the time, over and over and over again, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. Well, that includes Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and the rest of the carnivorous Comey cabal.
Yeah, and that's what it should be. I mean, we should be able to use their words against them at this point. They had no problem going out there and saying just that. Before we go, I wanted to get your take on Tish James, because obviously she was also one of the many villains who was going after the president and was trying to manipulate New York law. I mean, New York Democrats even changed their laws around to make sure he could be targeted in civil court, the president, and they were successful at doing just that, making those changes so he'd land in civil court. But she did a lot to make sure that the president would be taken off the campaign trail and put into a courtroom. Now she seems to be on the other end of all of this. Where do you think this ends up for Tish James?
I saw an interview with Letitia James with Joy Reid. By the way, if Joy Reid's IQ was 1 point lower, you'd have to water her like a plant. But in that interview, Tish James said, well, that mortgage fraud, which she is quite obviously guilty of, is virtually never prosecuted. Actually, no one's ever been prosecuted under the law that she prosecuted Donald Trump for when she claimed that he inflated the value of his assets in order to get commercial real estate loans. By the way, her conviction in that was completely overturned by the appeals court. But no one has ever been prosecuted under that state law until Big Tish decided to use it. She has substantial problems beyond mortgage fraud. I believe that there is tax fraud, insurance fraud, wire fraud. There's also disclosure fraud. Her state disclosure forms of the state of New York are an abomination. I'm not sure anyone will hold her accountable. And then there is the cover-up of child sex trafficking, or pardon me, sex trafficking, at a particular establishment at the Bronx that has been reported. So she's going to be prosecuted one way or another. Even if she's not prosecuted in the corrupted Eastern District of Virginia, she's going to face prosecution because her crimes are so manifest. Don't let anyone tell you, like the New York Times did Saturday, that there's insufficient evidence to charge her with mortgage fraud. There's a 43-year spree of mortgage fraud. She didn't lie about one mortgage. She didn't lie about two. She didn't lie about three. She lied about at least six mortgages. And when she says, oh, it was a typographical error, she signed in 12 different places, and it was witnessed by a lawyer in her office. That would be 12 typographical errors. Unlikely. Big Tish is going down.
Yeah, it needs to happen. It needs to happen, because if she could go after any of us, she would have. And she's not immune. And that's the key point in all of this. But I do have faith, obviously, in the special prosecutor, Ed Martin, and all of this, because he's been incredible. He's a patriot, and he is going to make sure that accountability follows. Roger, we want to thank you for jumping on with us today. I know you're a very, very busy man, so we appreciate your insight on all of this. So thank you.
Great to be with you. Congratulations on the new show. And give my best to everyone at InfoWars. I love you guys.
Thank you. We love you too, Roger. So thank you very much. All right, folks. Thank you for Roger joining us today. I know he's a very busy man, so it's always great to get him on when we can. We're watching a lot, though, that's going on all across the country, like I cited. We just finished watching. It looks like it's actually might have concluded, or they might be on a break right now. But the Senate was talking about the TSA terror watch list. We've learned a ton. I'll recap that for you in just a few moments. But we're also waiting to hear from the White House, because according to Nick Sorter, there is going to be a new effort to make sure that drug prices are reduced for Americans. According to Nick, we're waiting to hear about the new launch of Trump RX. Now, this would discount drugs for cash. Again, this would get rid of the middleman. And apparently there's a deal with Pfizer that is expected to be announced as well. Now, as many of you guys know, I'm no fan of the big pharmaceutical companies, but we kind of need our medicine. So if we have to work with them, we'll work with them. Again, it's not completely something that we will dismiss. I 100% stand on board with this. You know, when you talk about the prices of pharmaceuticals over the last few years, we'll just go with, the drug costs have completely skyrocketed. They're out of control. Insurance companies aren't covering them anymore. And so many Americans are forced to either go generic or have to find some type of alternative. And obviously, folks, that is extremely dangerous when you're dealing with a lot of these illnesses. So we're excited that President Trump has taken this fight on. You know, the Biden regime pretended like they took this fight on. But no. President Trump has actually taken this fight on, so we're very excited about that. Like I said, we're watching a couple of things going on all around the country right now. Just some quick oversight. You know, we learned about this TSA terror watch list, obviously. We did a lot of uncovering through my reporting. Alex has covered it as well as Wendy Mahoney, who we just had on the show earlier today. But we're learning a lot about who they targeted. Now, the Biden regime took this terror watch list and decided to use it against the American people. It was originally, as many things were, meant to go after those who were going to launch terrorist attacks in this country. Now, this was all one of the many results of the 9/11 terrorist attack. But again, that was used to target Americans. People like Tulsi Gabbard. Now, I exclusively reported last year that Tulsi was added to that terror watch list, even notifying her directly that she was added to that list, which kind of resulted in a snowball effect. Congress launched their investigation. You just saw a Senate hearing that was launched. And I have to say, it was only due to the fact that Tulsi was added to the list. Now, I had Tulsi on my show. We talked about it. We went over and how she had some type of instinct that she knew that there was something wrong because she was being followed on several flights by plainclothes officers, agents. And when she learned more about it, she learned that she was going through additional security measures as well. But we're now learning that there was at least five flights that she was followed on. That was back in 2024. We are looking now. It looks like President Trump's actually just started speaking at the White House. Let's take a look at that.
Nation drug pricing order that we established earlier this year. As you know, the United States is paying sometimes 10 times more than other countries for drugs, and a lot of excuses were made for that, but went on for many years, many, many years, decades, and it's not going on any longer. We're going to be paying the lowest price now. We're going to be paying whatever the lowest price is. Favored nations. This will save American taxpayers and consumers hundreds of millions of dollars a year. I want to thank Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, who is one of the most respected people in the industry and in business generally. I will say that, Albert, for joining us today, along with Secretary, as you know, we've got a number of secretaries. Secretary Slotnick behind me, I hope. Who's Lutnick?
He's over here, to the right.
You can get over here. I'm looking for Lutnick. our great Secretary of Commerce. Good, I'm glad you're here. You wouldn't have been in trouble. Howard Lutnick, great. Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., CMS Administrator. Mehmet Oz, Medicare Administrator. Chris Klomp, and the FDA Commissioner, Marty McCary. And I just want to thank them. Well, they've been working hard on many, many things. I think this is one of the biggest medical announcements that this office has ever made, because we're talking about price reductions, as you'll see in a couple of minutes, that are incredible. For many years, Americans have paid the highest prices anywhere in the world for prescription drugs. They paid far more, 10 times, 13 times, 15 times more than other countries for the exact same product. A major reason is that the American consumers have been subsidizing research and development costs for the entire planet. They put all of that on us, and yet they were the beneficiaries, too. So it's being changed as of today. The United States had just 4% of the world's population and consumers, only 13% of all prescription drugs, yet pharmaceutical companies make 75% of their profits from the United States. So think of that. We have 4% of the market, 13% of prescription drugs, and yet, Albert, I didn't know you were that violent. I'm surprised you're agreeing to this.
I'm getting with
it. No, he's doing the right thing. Thank you. And yet they make 75% of their profits from the American customers. So it's something. That's why I signed an executive order combating this practice. And we signed it very happily a little while ago. Today, Pfizer is committing, as will other drug companies as we go through the weeks. But Pfizer is truly one of the biggest in the world and one of the greatest in the world. Today, Pfizer is committing to offer all of their prescription medications to Medicaid, and It will be at the most favored nation's prices. It's going to have a huge impact on bringing Medicaid costs down like nothing else. I told you that in my first term, I was so proud of the fact that for the first time in 28 years, drug prices came down. And I had a news conference that I explained it was 0.1%, but it was down. And here we're talking about, in one case, over 1,000%. This is a critical step forward to our work and to improve health care, and hardworking, low-income Americans, especially low-income Americans, will be helped so greatly. In addition, Pfizer has agreed to provide some of their most popular current medications to all consumers at heavily discounted prices of anywhere between 50 and even 100%. That's off the price. And in some cases, even more than that, these drugs will be available for direct purchase online at a website operated by the federal government. We're also announcing that moving forward, all new medications introduced by Pfizer to the American market will be sold at the reduced most favored nation costs. So we'll be paying essentially what other countries are paying, who have been much lower for many, many years. Furthermore, Pfizer will invest $70 billion to reshore domestic manufacturing facilities. In other words, they're going to bring a lot of their facilities to make their drugs and make what they make, their product. They're going to make it in the United States. I appreciate that $70 billion investment and fund research and development right here in America. We're working with other major pharmaceutical companies to secure similar agreements. Everyone understands that the status quo, where Americans pay more for drugs, prescription drugs, and they pay more than foreign countries who take advantage of us in many other ways, although not so many anymore. I think we've pretty well got that stopped, right?
I think so. We've stopped that, but they took advantage of a lot of other presidents, that I can tell you. But we're making this pay to be very unacceptable, what they've done in the past. That's why my administration is also taking historic action to investigate the unfair and discriminatory trade practices of other countries that extort our pharmaceutical makers to shift costs onto the American consumer. They say, no, give us a price, a very low price, and just charge the American consumer, charge it to the U.S. The United States is done subsidizing the health care of the rest of the world. It's a big thing. This is, I can't tell you how big this is. And I was all set to go on a first term, but then you had the COVID, and we had to focus on that. But I said, I want to get back here. So because this is, you're talking about 14, 15, 1600% reductions in some cases. But by taking this bold step, we're ending the era of global price gouging at the expense of American families. And we're making America healthy again, which is our little theme for the people behind me. And I want to just ask Secretary Kennedy to come up, and we'll start, and we'll go through it with Oz and Klump and Bourla and McCary. And we'll go through it, and if you have any questions. But this is a really big announcement. This is something that most people said was not doable. And other countries are going along because we told them, if you don't go along, you know, they didn't have to go along. But if they didn't go along, we were going to put extra tariffs on those countries. And we were going to charge them the amount of money that they should be paying for the reduction in costs. So
many reasons to celebrate President Donald Trump lowering drug costs for Americans. This is everything you wanted, everything you voted for, and we're very excited that he's doing just that. Now, don't go anywhere. Alex Jones is up next, and he's got a lot to unpack. So it's going to be a great show. We'll see you here tomorrow, though.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. the point is, we got war bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. Get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our monthly blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.